Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, good evening. How are you? It's Jake Yap here. I'm plugged in my headphones. I'm totally across it. Do I need to be out bang on for 10 o'clock? I can't remember. Yeah, I knew that. Hi, it's Jake Yap here, in for Ian Lee all week. What could possibly go wrong? Here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That was exquisitely spliced in. Well done, Jingles Department. I love that.
Late night uncensored chat
with Jake Yap. Yes, hello, it's me, Jake Yap, here until 1 o'clock this morning, Monday to Friday this week. I don't know exactly what's going on here. I mean, obviously that's nothing particularly new. But normally I do the Sunday breakfast show, and a feature that we do first thing on Sundays is a safe word, where we decide on a safe word for the rest of the show, and then listeners can invoke that safe word whenever they feel that we've strayed into a topic of conversation that perhaps we shouldn't have. So every week we ask for a safe word, and I got this email.
All right.
I think today or yesterday, from Jim.
Okay.
He emailed and said, "Hey Jake, I thought I'd get this in now as I'm driving, and there's all these new laws and stuff. Safe word suggestion." So he's suggesting a safe word.
Right. Cool.
Scab.
Oof.
Enough said, Jim. What's that about? What's
Are you a member of the Radio Presenter Union, aren't the RPU?
The RPU. The RPU.
And did you speak to...
Yeah, no,
I mean, this probably isn't a conversation we should be having on air, but I guess, you know, we're here.
Genuinely, what?
You know, did management not tell you about the Radio Bland strike?
Radio Bland?
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay, well, did you not listen to the show last week?
I always listen to the show. It was a great show. I liked...
listen to it. How do I put this? There's some industrial action going on as we speak.
What?
Well, there's a reason why you're in for a week.
Because this was a last-minute booking.
Yeah. Did
I was booked on Friday.
Did they not...
No, they didn't. They didn't say anything. They just said, "Can you cover?"
Right.
I assume he's on holiday, right?
No.
Where is Ian?
He's
on.
Well, if you look out the window, can you see the brazier? I mean, I'm surprised you didn't hear the shouting as you walked in. I mean, look.
No, it was weird. I tell you what was weird was coming in. You know, normally you come in and...
Did they bring you in
it
the
was
back
weird,
way?
No, it wasn't that. But genuinely, it was a bit frosty and weird in the
Yeah. Because kind of... you're a strike breaker, mate. Did you not? I'm not joking.
Mm.
I'm surprised. Did they...
Okay, right, so, okay, Ian Lee's gone on strike.
Yeah.
Because of
Bland Radio, he's taking a stand.
It's Bland
him.
Radio?
Yeah, so it's him, Nick Ferrari, Mike Mendoza, and I think Moyles as well has gone out.
On strike?
On strike, yeah.
Bland Radio?
Against, well, because...
And they hired me to cover? Okay. Wow, that's... I did not know that.
Yeah. But anyway... I mean, you're here now, it's damage is done, so we might as well crack on, eh?
That kind of annoys me because Ian is kind of, how can I win this? I've lost before I'm on it. I've been called a scab just for showing up to work.
Yeah, breaking a strike. That's the usual reason.
Wow. Do you know what? I did jingles, flattering Ian Lee, like sucking up to him.
Let's hear him.
I did what he likes the Beach Boys, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I tried to do a Beach Boys one.
Did
you?
Right.
It's not very good.
Let's hear it.
Okay, here it comes. It's not coming through. Can you open my fader, please, Ed? He's on the phone. Is he ordering pizza?
It's open.
That's depressing, isn't it? It's not working. It's going to be a long 3 hours. it's not playing that.
Where have you plugged that in, mate?
I've done it the wrong way around, that's why.
Oh.
Here we go.
This is really not...
See, I'm not used to having to do the hot seat handovers either. That's the other thing. On Sunday morning we come in, it's been best of Martin Roberts. It's just 3 hours of him crying. I mean, I assume it's him. Weird. Anyway, this is... I mean... say it right now, I hate the Monkees. I hate the Beach Boys. There will be no talk about Monkees or Beach Boys. Anything else goes.
This isn't about you and him, though. This is, you're caught in the middle, mate. Don't make him the target of your aggression. I think you've been sold a foot by the evil mill owners that run this place.
That's unbelievable.
Anyway, you're here now. Might as well.
Who did he? So who was he? Did he name and shame Bland? Who was he saying was Bland?
No. He didn't name and shame. What was that?
Pepsi. Pepsi Max. My lifeblood.
No, he didn't name and shame anyone. That's not his vibe.
All right.
He just
so he was just carpet saying
anyone who at this moment across town someone's talking about Muslims, Brexit.
I had that on my hang on. Okay, I've got an opening link.
Oh God. Go on.
Actually, I meant to run this by you. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Hiya, Jake Yap in for Ian Lee. So much to talk about.
Okay.
Brexit.
No.
What's going on with that then?
Mm.
No.
Well, okay, carry on. Let's hear the rest.
Trump, is he a maniac or a visionary? No.
No.
Also welcoming your thoughts on legalising marijuana, bringing back capital punishment, and for once and for all, are Muslims... No.
No.
And then in the last hour,
I thought we
could have a bit of fun.
Not white dog poo.
Was Ivor the Engine the best TV train? Or was it the original Thomas the Tank Engine?
Right.
Ringo Starr. What was that all about?
We like Ringo.
Did M&M's kill off peanut treats?
What?
0344 499 1000. I thought that would be great.
Can I put an addendum? Or anything else. I mean, and everything else.
Yeah, obviously, anything.
Yeah. So, Jake.
Anything else? Cool.
You're in for how long?
I wish I'd seen a contract. I'm here all week. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a nice long...
week.
So far I've been called a scab and bland. in fact, two people called me a scab. Someone called me a scab on Twitter this morning. I was like, what's that all about?
Yeah, what is that all about? Who said that?
It was... Stand by. Just scrolling. Here he comes. The French Tickler.
Harsh.
Do you know the French Tickler?
Nope.
Harsh,
though, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's told you you've got to do the voices?
What voices?
I'm going to do your book at bedtime.
Oh, good.
But we're gonna, that, I think we should do that like last link. Really.
Can we decide on a safe word then? Going back to your original point, there's probably
should
not
we have a safe
the
word?
One they've suggested.
And maybe not. Yeah, let's not have scab.
No, let's have something.
Let's keep love and respect. Right?
Let's have something that people aren't going to be shouting anyway because it could get confusing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, what should we have as a safe word then? 0344 499 1000. And this is a word that you know you or indeed we can invoke at any time.
Mm-hmm.
To bring about a cessation to whatever's going on air.
Yeah.
0344 499 1000. Should I? We've got Paul on the line. Should we talk to Paul?
Yeah, go on, talk to Paul.
Hi, Paul, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello, how are you?
Fine.
I'm sensing...
What?
Mild hostility.
Go on.
Well, did I send the... email to you.
Oh, right, hang on. So this is Paul. Paul, have you sent us another idea for a television programme?
Yes, it's for grown-ups.
Right, does it involve muscly men in pants doing a poo?
No.
Oh, new format. Go on, then.
They're not wearing pants.
The revival of Funhouse for grown-ups.
Okay, tell me more.
It'll be hosted by the person who hosts who we like to you.
Would I Lie to
would you?
Would I Lie to You?
Who is it that hosts that?
I think is it Rob Brydon, I think.
Okay, Rob Brydon.
Or, no, is it David Mitchell that everyone says I sound
Rob
like?
Rob Brydon,
okay. Safe pair of hands. Go on, Paul.
Would I Like a Poo?
It will be assisted by, I will have more camp to chat gay audience. There will be, my idea pop duo that I want to form, it will be me, Paul and Shane. I will be supporting the Latin and bandmate Shane will be supporting the Latin team. Mm-hmm.
So you're like the twins that used to be in Funhouse?
We are pop duo I want to form.
Yeah, I get that. But instead of the twins, it's you two, right? Yeah. Okay, that sounds
wearing dress and hot pants.
Right, there we go. There's the hot pants. There's not going to be any pooing, is there?
No.
Because it always tends to come into your formats, I've noticed. I mean, but it's good to have it's good to have a theme.
Yeah, definitely. It's unique.
Yeah.
Well, apart from some of the later versions of Give Us a Clue, which when Lionel Blair's muscles were going. But
so what channel would this go on, Paul?
Challenge.
Of course. Yes. Home of quality, yeah.
Well,
in the emails they've said, it's also mentioned, will pick meal kits affect.
You what?
You have to what?
Can you have a look of the email?
We can't, because your email's too long. So tell us what it says, Paul.
Well, with Timo Pink Saucy Sassy going viral, with the impact make way for gaming shows like Games Master and Game Worlds going viral and have similar impact.
That's true. They do well.
Well, it sounds like you've got it all planned out, Paul. Best of luck with it. Let us know what happens.
Have you ever heard of Pink Meal Kids?
The what?
Have you ever heard of Pink Meal Kids?
The what kids?
Pink Meal Kid.
Pink Windmill.
Pink Windmill, yeah.
Of course we have.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was with Rod Hall and Amy, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was
Grot
awesome.
Bags.
Oh, Grot Bags. She's a legend.
Anyway, we're not talking about 80s TV programmes.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed
to
do that. Yeah, fine. Paul, thanks ever so much. Appreciate you. He's giving them away. This is the problem.
Yeah.
You don't want to just, you have to protect that stuff.
Yeah, you want to write that in a note to yourself. Post it.
That's right. That's send bad. It to yourself and seal it. And that way they can't...
Does that really work? No.
I have no idea. Well, no, I think if they want it,
although,
they just...
I don't think anyone's thought of that format that Paul's come up
with. Oh, yeah,
so
no. There's no disputing its uniqueness. Yeah. Michael has texted us. Mm-hmm. You can text us too. 87222, start your text message with the word talk. It says, Jake, were you not suspicious when the vehicle they used to bus you in had protective chicken wire over the windows and how you were smuggled in under a blanket through the back door? Look, I go to most gigs I do. I arrive in the trunk of a car. So, I'm in the boot.
Yeah.
I've got a special one now. It's got air holes and everything. It's quite luxurious, really. So how on earth was I supposed to know? I didn't know. Should we talk to Ken or should we have a break
talk
first?
Talk to Ken.
Should we talk to Ken?
Yeah.
All right, Ken, we might have to hold you over a break, but how are you this evening?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. It's Jake, isn't it?
It is. Hello.
Right. My name is Ken from Newcastle, Jake, and welcome to Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Yes, and it's wonderful that talk radio allows freedom of speech. It's very appreciated, I can assure you of that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
We give you freedom of speech as long as you're not boring, Ken. Crack on.
Right. Now, I would like to talk about abortion. Did you know that in America, 31 million babies have been aborted since they brought in the Abortion Act? So that's almost half the population of the UK has been aborted in the USA.
I mean, technically that would be fetuses, right?
Not fetuses.
In various stages.
They are babies in the womb.
Okay.
Yeah, and the facts of the matter are here when we talk about abortion, Jake.
Yeah.
One abortion takes place every 3 minutes in the UK. There are 570 abortions every day, and there are 4,000 abortions every year in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Is that not disgraceful?
Well, it depends on your point of view. I mean, some would say that an abortion is is a way of avoiding three miserable lives. You know, if people aren't in a situation where they can care for that child adequately, and it's done early on enough, some would say it's probably, you know, not the worst thing.
Well, they're actually killing a human being.
Yeah, when you've got...
They're killing life. They're killing some...
When you've got 13.5 million people living below the poverty line in the UK, some would say, let's deal with the people who are here now. You know?
All right, so that's survival of the fittest, but that's just atheism. That's what Charles Darwin promoted, the survival of the fittest. If they can't defend themselves, just let's kill them. They cost us money. Kill them.
Well,
millions been killed, Jake. Millions.
Yeah, I think we might have to, should we leave it on anything? I think we might have to leave it there, Ken.
Is this boring to talk about, or is it not important?
It's not, I think it might be up on the list with Brexit and Trump.
but listen, my daughter, she's a lovely Christian lady, and she was involved in the giving counsel. She's a mature lady, she's 41, 42, and she was involved in counselling young ladies before they had abortions, and they didn't know what they were actually getting into. She wasn't trying to press them to go with Christian viewpoints. She was just trying to encourage them to consider adoption. If they didn't want the baby, then have the baby adopted instead of aborting or killing the baby in the womb. And when you check out the history of young people and middle-aged women, they've got terrible mental trauma in their minds, and they've got great guilt in their hearts after they do this.
Has anyone done any studies of... people, I don't know, I'm not saying this happens to all people who are adopted, but, you know, for some people who are adopted, that can be a very difficult thing to live with for them.
Of course it can, but it's better to have the baby adopted than to kill the baby. That's
How do you feel about, because every male orgasm, right, produces, is it 250 million sperm? I mean, what do we do about that? How do we protect those guys? Because,
now that's another matter.
Well,
at the moment of conception in the woman's womb, Jake, there's an impartation of information, the DNA code, the full package deal is imparted into the mother's cell, egg. That information contains everything about that baby.
Yeah. Ken, who's in charge of a woman's body?
The woman's in charge of her own body, but she can't. She's
so
not
that's
in charge
the end of
the
your
baby's body.
Yeah. So Ken, it's kind of hard for you, not you know, as I don't want to make assumptions, but probably not being a woman, it's hard for you to sort of take this stance, isn't it?
Not hard for me, but somebody has to speak up for the unborn baby. Do you know what they do in the suction thing when they?
Okay.
There we go. We might
Ken,
have to leave it there, Ken.
Is that the sort of counselling your daughter offers?
No, my daughter doesn't speak like that. No,
okay,
I'm speaking,
so,
I'm speaking
okay.
strongly.
Well, yeah, I know. We all know. I think we all know what goes on with that. But we also know that you're talking... Hang
then.
On a second. No, we're not going into that, Ken.
Why
you
not?
Know and I know. You know and I know. That, women who have...
Why not?
Because I don't feel like this is something we all know
because
that it's...
Because it's so horrible.
It is a horrible procedure, but women... No, but women do not go into that procedure lightly. And to suggest otherwise is just offensive.
Method. They're torn apart limb by limb.
Mm. Ken, do you enjoy cheese, butter?
I love cheese, yes.
Milk. Okay. So you don't mind.
I don't drink milk, but I love cheese, but I don't eat too much of it though.
So you don't mind about the dairy cows that are forcibly impregnated and then well, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
God's creature.
No, we're talking
they're all
about
God's
animals.
Creatures, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're animals. They're not human beings. The human being is created in the image of God, Jake. Human beings are precious. Mm. You and the young lady who's with you are very
Catherine,
precious souls to
so,
God.
Okay, but so what happened to judge not lest you yourself be judged?
Well, I'm not judging. I'm just making a statement that God is against killing.
You've made
thou
a decision.
Not murder.
You've made a
God
decision.
God has made a judgment.
It depends
God
what you think of as murder, Ken.
Well, God says it's murder.
So he's using a condom murder. Murdering...
Yeah, those poor sperm.
A condom prevents the conception.
Yeah, poor so, sperm. I mean, that's God's will, isn't it? That's what God designed your penis for.
No, that's another matter. That when
I see.
When the womb is fertilized when the cell is fertilized in the womb, there's an impartation of information which contains everything about that baby, and that is killed and destroyed.
Did God invent condoms, Ken?
God should not have given us opposable thumbs. Ken, we have to submit to a higher power now, and that's the advert break. But thank you very much indeed for your call. Really appreciate it. 0344 499 1000. Talking about hobbies and your favourite 80s crisps after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jenkia, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, that was a flying star, wasn't it?
Do you ever get the feeling that someone had been holding back for weeks waiting to pounce? And that's what just happened.
It all come out. Very good evening to you. It's Jake Yap here with the lovely Kath. Here until 1 o'clock this morning. 0344 499 1000. The same rules apply. You can ring up, talk about kind of anything you like.
The thing is, you can talk about whatever you want. So if you come on in a cunning way, like Ken saying, I really enjoy freedom of speech. Mm. Yeah, you can have freedom of speech to a certain point. Mm. We don't have to engage with you if you're being boring or offensive.
Yes. Someone anonymous has texted saying...
always good.
Tell Ken, please. Yeah, I had an abortion 50 years ago and I never regretted it for a second. And that women always have and always will find a way to have an abortion when they need it illegally, if that's all there is. Now, that's a good point, isn't it?
It's true.
Also, Michael says, forgive the analogy, but Ken has sucked the life out of the show. thanks, Michael. Jumble Sailor says, wow, only two calls in. It's been quite the tour de horizon.
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 That's what George Galloway would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he pronounces it horizon.
Horizon.
And he also says, now it's time to break for some capitalist messages.
Time now to break. For some capitalist.
Capitalist.
Capitalist. Does he say that? Capitalist. Massages. What an orator he is.
Did we come up with a safe word? Because I could have used
Where were you with the safe word, people? We just, like 10 minutes ago, we sorted out the safe word, and not one of you used it.
Well,
you could have bailed me out.
I think it should be Ken. Ken!
What was the safe word? I can't remember what it was.
Well, they wanted scab, but we're trying to move away from that.
We're trying to move away. We're not talking about that. Jem on Twitter suggested as a safe word, Batmobiles.
Yeah.
And said, no, please don't do this. The reason for that is, in fact, someone else asked, will you be having Batmobile chat this week, or are you keeping it just for Sunday? And I need some advice regarding the oil filter on my Mark III.
Oh, no, tricky.
We won't do...
On the Mark III, that's a recurring fault, isn't it?
Yes. Well, there was a recall, wasn't there? Do you remember when it came out?
Although they tried to hush it up at first.
92. Yeah. And they were saying, oh, no, the European ones are fine. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing was just a pack of lies.
I know. Unbelievable.
I don't want to libel.
Okay. Well, I think they were... I think it's fair to say they were deliberately misleading.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. You can definitely say that.
0344 499 1000.
Yes, that would be good.
Give us a ring.
Yeah, do give us a ring. So, you see, the trouble is when you toss out stuff about Brexit and Trump and 80s stuff, people they do respond, though, don't they?
Of course they do. It's a trigger.
Yeah. John says, next up, my Muslim ghost has a space hopper and a global hypercolour T-shirt.
Wow.
Amazing. He's opened it up.
What?
I'll say that.
Can of worms.
Basically, people enjoyed the colourful chit chat there. Oh my God, there was a story in the paper today.
Yeah,
about crowdfunding.
Oh gosh, yeah, that woman. I can't decide whether she's a poor woman or a fool.
Can you not be both?
Possibly.
This was in today's Daily Star, which is a scrounging mum. Which sounds harsh.
Let's continue.
But is actually probably fair.
Well, the definition of scrounging is what? Asking for something that you're...
Who begged strangers to fund a £5,000 Disney trip, scrapped the appeal after raising just £10.
Oh, dear.
£10. Ouch. Adorable. We should talk more about that in a minute. I've just realised Philip's been waiting all this time. Sorry, Philip. Should we talk to Philip? Let's talk to Philip. Hello, Philip.
Good evening, Jake. Good evening, Catherine.
Hey, Philip.
Favourite TV trains?
No, we're not really supposed to do this.
Yes. Oh, yes. Got it.
Well, do you know what? If I'm being accused of being a bland scab, then
I'm
going to enjoy this. Tell me about the TV trains.
My favourite was a series called Time Express.
Oh.
It was Vincent Price and Coral Brown. It only ran for about 6 weeks, and what it was, you got a letter through the post with a train ticket in it.
Yeah.
You had to go down to the station, and you'd get on the train,
yeah,
and it would take you to the past, to something that happened in your life, and you could put it right.
Oh.
Ken would be all over that.
It was great. I can't understand why it wasn't more popular, and it was really, really good.
Are you sure this wasn't a really vivid dream? I don't remember this. Should I Google it?
Yeah. Time Express, Vincent Price and Coral Brown.
It'll be dead old.
And I think there might be a small clip on YouTube, but I'm not 100% sure. Now, another train that's coming in is the Hooterville Cannonball. Now, that was from a series called Petticoat Junction.
Yeah.
You ever heard of Petticoat Junction?
All of this sounds like extremely tame pornography.
Sounds bawdy.
Yeah.
Petticoat Junction was a spin-off of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the Beverly Hillbillies. Remember the Beverly Hillbillies,
Jake?
Yeah.
Well, this was the spin-off, and it was set in a hotel in Petticoat Junction, which was the name of the place.
Right.
And there was that, you see, and yeah, Hooterville Cannonball. And then Casey Jones, I've been trying to find what the
You're very up on the American shows. These were all American.
Yeah,
Time Express
all American.
Was...
Yeah, I can't think of a
why? British. Why do you... How are you watching these American shows? Were they shown in this country?
I mean, these are from the great era of the 60s and the 50s. I mean, I'll give you one English one that I found.
Go on.
It was from the people who did Father Ted, The Big Train.
Big Train. That was a great show.
Which was that. Yeah. And, of course, the one that went on overland was The Wagon Train with Robert Houghton and Ward Bond.
You're big on the US. Are you a bit of a US...
Yes.
Are you into your Americana and stuff?
I mean, it's great because all the series I started to watch in the late 50s and early 60s are now on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one series called Highway Patrol with Broderick Crawford. It was the greatest crime series ever made, in my opinion. And it's all on YouTube, digitally remastered. Wonderful.
You couldn't make it up. What, have you been to America? Have you done all of that?
Yeah, I've been to America, and luckily enough have visited the studios. And because in America, you know, you get series that, you know, that we didn't get here.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Mod Squad?
No, I'm more interested in your experience in America.
Yeah.
And where did you go in America?
Well, I've been lucky enough to have been all over, and I've been about to Los Angeles, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And
why this was holidays, right?
This was holidays.
Tell me what you thought of Los Angeles, because I get a lot of people who sort of go, oh, you would love Los Angeles. You would love it.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, I really don't think. You would love it. I love it?
It's interesting, Jake. Yes, I would recommend this to go to these places in Australia.
LA is.
Another story, is. to go to these places in America and see it. And also, if you get the chance, to go to some of the lesser known places.
Lick,
Hooterville
in Kentucky.
Oh, I've never been to Kentucky. I've been around the middle of America, Wyoming. I love Wyoming.
Yeah,
and up in South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho.
Did you ever have any? Were you driving around these places?
No, I was on a coach trip.
Oh, okay.
And we're lucky. It was. We were Utah. I love Utah. I think Utah is a great, great state with all the canyons, Bryce Canyon.
The Mormons. Did you see any Mormons?
Well, it's funny. It's the only place you don't get asked if you'd like to be a Mormon because they presume you are. You know, you walk around, and I think the greatest thing about that was on a Sunday morning. They said we're going to see the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That was, regardless of religion, that was one of the greatest experiences, to hear that choir.
Really?
Where have you been, Jake, around America?
Well, I spent 2 years living in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes.
Which was a strange place. Some cruel people say that it, because it's sort of just down south, obviously, from New York. People say it combines the sloth of the South with the bad attitude of the East Coast. I liked it there, but people could be quite snippy there.
I went there in 69, just after they'd had the riots over the draft, you know, Vietnam draft.
I bet you grabbed a bargain.
And it was weird. There was still a lot of in the air that there could be more riots and more things. But I had a great trip. I went to New York, had a coach down to Washington, where I stayed in Washington.
Threw a few petrol bombs.
Philadelphia.
They should do rioting tours.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be interesting. Because there was a film, a science fiction film, where you could go back and visit disasters, you know, be on the and then take part in the actual disaster.
Oh, well, that sounds...
I can't remember the name of the film, but it starred a guy who was in the Starship Troopers film, Casper Van Dien. D-I-E-N, well-known actor in America, and yes, it was science fiction, of course. But where else have you been? You say you've been to Washington. Where else?
I went around with work. I went to New York a bit.
Yeah.
I heard a man use an extremely colourful phrase to a cab driver.
All right. You've been to Canada.
I went. Funnily enough, since you ask, and we seem to have time to kill, 03444991000. I was living in the States, right, and I spent 2 years there, and I reached a point where I was sort of a bit kind of fed up with it. Because Washington, D.C. is kind of, it's almost like, kind of like rural in a way. I know it's a big town and it's where the government is and stuff, but actually a lot of the attitudes are much more kind of like inland.
Yeah,
America than coastal America.
Yeah,
and it's quite conservative there, and they didn't know what to make of me in the office I worked in.
What, was it a newspaper or something? Does it change?
I worked for BBC America.
Oh, BBC America.
And
just how? I mean, I've been there and seen it on the channel. How widely viewed is it? Are there a lot of viewers out there for it?
Well, this may surprise you, but they now have more than 300 viewers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, is it because of the... I mean, presumably, when I went out there, they used to have, what was it, is it PBS?
Yes.
And the station which would show the things like upstairs and downstairs, the original and things.
Well,
like
they
that.
Had some pretty mad strategy, I have to say, the BBC, in those days in America, whereby they would sell Monarch of the Glen. Do you remember that? That was a big show.
Yes, yes.
They would sell it.
Yeah.
To BBC America, which was a separate commercial venture. So they had to sell it at full market price.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would sell it again to PBS, a rival station.
Wow.
So BBC America was having to say, hey, come and watch Monarch of the Glen. The subscription will cost you $6 a month and there'll be adverts. Or you can watch it on PBS for free with no adverts. Up to you.
Because I know they had, they showed EastEnders, didn't they, for a while?
They did show EastEnders.
Yeah,
no one could understand a word of it, because Americans aren't used to listening to different accents the way we are.
No.
And they couldn't understand a word of it. I had to cut trailers for Ground Force. No one had a word. They couldn't understand a word of it.
And yet, funny, just over the border, one of the most popular programs in Canada, I don't know if it still is, Coronation Street.
I can believe that.
Probably because of the sort of Commonwealth of other Scottish people and probably more English. Do you know the strangest thing I saw in 69, coming down from New York to Washington, we went through Baltimore.
Oh.
And we went past a McDonald's, and it's the first time I've seen a security guard in McDonald's with a gun.
Yes, well, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm not sure whether it was for security or to make sure everybody ate their burger.
Hamburglar, innit?
That was probably Hamburglar, who was about to raid the place.
Very good indeed. Anyway, nice to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you, Philip. Thank you very much for calling us today. 03444991000 is the number to call. We'll be back in a second.
Jake Young, in for Late Night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well!
Got an odd tweet. Well, it's odd to me. It probably means something to you.
Yeah.
From Distracted Dan, please ask Jake, may we ring in with capybara care tips?
Capybara, yes. Well, on Sunday mornings we do Batmobile chat, and lots of people have sort of expressed conflicted feelings about Batmobiles, because a lot of the classic ones, the seats are made of capybara pelt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
So when it's capybara
different
care
days,
tips,
though, wasn't
it's
it?
Not living capybara.
It's the
it's actually how do you look after your seats?
Yeah.
On there. So,
you've got to be careful.
Yeah. So I went to Canada. I never explained why I went to Canada. I went to Canada for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Because it was my sort of gesture of defiance. It was like, I am leaving America for Thanksgiving.
Because they don't cheapest do Thanksgiving flight. In Canada, right?
No, exactly. Because they're still stuck. Yeah. So, So, like, cheapest flights ever, because everyone's trying to fly into America to come home for Thanksgiving. So I think they paid me something like $4,000. And
did you like it, Canada?
I did. It's weird. I mean, it's like a really vivid dream because it's sort of...
it's a sensible America, isn't it?
Kind of. Well, it's more than that in that... The countryside looks like bogeydom. You know in Fungus the Bogeyman?
Yeah.
It looks like that. It's sort of rather desolate and boggy, and I kind of liked it.
Uh-huh.
And then when you go to Montreal, it's sort of... It looks a bit like Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking French.
Kind of.
And yet all the currency's got a queen's head on it. Like
wow.
Fivers. It's just bizarre. So, but I liked it.
I quite fancy Canada. Might go one day.
Yeah. Michael says, was it you who shouted at Bette Midler when doing Ground Force in New York? Or am I thinking of someone else? No, that was me. I shouted, can you shut up? I didn't know it was Bette Midler.
Is this true?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was filming Alan Titchmarsh in a garden in New York for this Ground Force New York
All right,
thing
this
that
is
they were
to
doing.
Try to bring it to America.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Americans
we're trying to
will
sell
watch
it to Americans.
Things if it has Americans
could,
in.
Yeah, they couldn't understand a word. So I'm trying to film Alan Titchmarsh, and I'm getting fed up because I was a director.
Yeah.
Notionally
really?
A director. Oh, come on. It's not. So, but I'm getting fed up because I can hear someone talking really, really loudly.
Rah, rah, rah,
I'm trying to film with Alan Titchmarsh here. This guy's a big star.
This is the king of daytime TV. This is a housewife's favourite.
Yeah.
Show him some respect.
This guy's a big deal. Will you people have some respect? So I just turn around and say, can you just shut up? I mean,
Miss.
If it's okay.
Midler.
With all respect, Midler. Sorry.
She probably loved it, didn't she? Or not?
No, I don't think she did that. She did not appreciate what I've done then. After the break, we're going to be talking to Caddick. Oh, that's nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Yap, in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah, thanks very much. That was me. Don't worry, Ed. I pressed the button. Just relax. I didn't mean to press the button. I'll press it now. Ready?
Hashtag Radio Bland.
Hashtag Radio Bland with your memories of the 80s. Not welcome. No, they are really. They're not really. They are really.
They might be. Depends. They're interesting.
And the night's young. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. We have an open door policy, as always, here. It's like a warm blanket. Caddick. Are you there?
The scab.
Here we go. I'm not a scab, okay? I didn't know what was going down.
I feel a scab. Calling in.
Hang on a minute.
And yet you still called.
You did call, and I appreciate you breaking the picket line.
Yeah.
You could have done it under a false name. No one would have known.
No, but Ed answered the call.
Yeah.
It's no, your, it's just the New Zealand.
Mate, I'm just worried that your name is going to be on some kind of list.
A blacklist.
Yeah, that's the trouble. They don't forget, you know.
Yeah.
You know, these small...
We'll be discussing next Monday when Ian's back.
Yeah, small insular communities like this show, they don't forget.
They're going to be repercussions.
Yeah, but you had to do it, didn't you? Because your little boy loves ballet. Can I just say in my defence, okay... I'm reet poor and that, and my little boy, he loves to dance, and so I've had to break picket line because he loves to go to Disco Ducks, and that's £4 a session.
You're making it worse, Jake.
Am I making it worse?
Yeah.
Come on, Billy, everyone was behind Billy Elliot's.
Well, they're from Newcastle for a start, and you're doing a...
Right, well, I suppose... No, let's not do that. In fact, we had someone asking, are we still allowed to call from Newcastle after Ken rang?
Well, as long as it's not Ken.
Yes, Sycamore James, thanks very much for that. Of course you can call. Of course you can call. Caddick, have you ever been part of an industrial dispute before?
No, never.
No, okay. What are you doing at the moment? Are you playing with a microwave?
No, I'm doing a bit of washing.
A bit of washing? Like laundry washing?
Yeah.
I can hear the spin now. I can hear it on the spin.
You're not
cycle.
Sitting on it, are you?
No.
Okay, just checking, Caddick.
There's nothing wrong with it if you are. Not here to judge, it's a safe space.
I wouldn't be able to go on there anyway.
No, nor would I. Worktop's in the way, isn't it? Oh, really?
Oh, man, this is such a weird night.
Tell you what, though, no one can ride a wooden horse like our Caddick. I've seen footage.
Really?
Yeah, you went to the races.
Yeah, last year.
Tell him.
Was it on spin cycle?
No, I only made the national paper.
Did you?
Yeah. It was like, you know when they do that, look at this disgraceful behaviour at the Grand National, and they've got women Caddick. Falling out of frocks.
Was that you?
There was a Caddick riding a, like a, what was it, like a rodeo horse thing?
No, the necrosizer.
Oh, gosh.
An exerciser.
You've given it six and out on the exerciser.
Did you romp home in first place? Or did you get, you know, the rifle in the mouth and the...
I must have called it a dusty carpet because he's never been beaten.
Hey. Very nice. Do you go to the races? Is that
good over fences?
Is that a thing you do? Do you go to the races? Is that like
you love it, don't you,
Kaz?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, we've got Cheltenham next week.
Yeah. What?
Do you go just to watch, or do you have a bet?
I sometimes have an occasional flutter.
Yeah. Have you? Are you good at picking winners?
Well, I picked the winner of the National last year, and I had second as well.
Oh. But you know, second place.
Because I gave Ian a tip on the show.
Oh, did you? That's
And it came second.
It's not first though, is it? I mean, I don't want to be harsh.
I had it each way.
Well, yeah. I've had it each way.
Have you?
Yeah. Have you had it each way?
No, I don't think
you should always have it each way.
Really?
Yeah. Any each way but loose.
Yeah. Mm. I went to the races once and I was quite lucky, but I was just betting on anyone who had a shirt with a star on. Well, listen. Hey,
did it
it's
work?
As good a method as any. Why? I won a few times, yeah.
I went with Martin Kellner.
Oh, did you?
For his 50th birthday, I think. And Simon Kellner, his brother, had laid it on. He was the editor of The Independent.
Yeah.
And he got like a minibus all the way up to wherever it was.
We had a minibus as well. I was a disgrace on the way home.
I ended up singing the songs of West Side Story, I think, with Simon Kellner.
Oh, similar.
Yeah. Did you? What did you end up doing, Kat?
I was very drunk, I'm afraid. Yeah. I was one of those women.
Fabulous.
Except not as scantily dressed.
Did you wear a fascinator?
No. It was pre-fascinator.
Pre-fascinator. Mm. I don't know what happened pre-fascinators.
Hats.
Hats.
Yeah.
Full-on hats. Before hat inflation meant that fascinators...
Anyway, Cad, are you going bio or non-bio there?
Well, I'm having the comfort with the Lenore.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's nice, man. Because
I'm not sure it does anything.
Oh, who cares?
But yeah.
It's fabulous. Because I used, like, the eco stuff.
Uh-huh.
And
that smells like rubber, doesn't it?
Well, there's various things. I've tried...
Have you tried the balls?
I've tried the clay balls. I've tried the clay balls. I've tried the nuts. I've tried all the, you know, the sort of fluids that you get made out of organic hemp milk or whatever. And the trouble is that first two, maybe 3 weeks, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. This stuff is brilliant. It's doing no harm to the planet.
Cad's gone.
He's gone. We lost him.
Cad's has bailed out. It's because you started talking about soap nuts.
Come to this.
So two, three weeks,
you're like, this stuff is brilliant. You know, doing no harm to one.
By the way, high five. We just managed to bore Caddick off the air.
That is an achievement. What awards can we put this one in for? Because this is the one, surely. I don't know how Ian's going to dare come back after this. First two or 3 weeks with your eco-friendly balls or whatever. You're like, this is amazing.
What are you talking about the first two or 3 weeks?
Of laundry cycles.
All right. You're not saying in the cupboard for two, 3 weeks and then they start to rot off or something.
No. It's just that after that, all your clothes, and it's depressing to say, I don't want to dissuade people, they just smell of wee.
Oh, really?
They just all start to smell of wee.
What, because the stuff loses its...
Because it doesn't really kill the bacteria. It doesn't take it out. And all your clothes just reek
of wee. Is that what it's made of?
No, it's your own inert wee. Doesn't get rinsed out of the clothes, is my theory. Ooh. Like gym wear. Forget it.
Well, I do forget gym wear.
Just smell of... I don't even know why I'm saying that. Like it's...
like it's something's in your wardrobe.
Yeah. What I'll say is the first 18 months are fine. three or four trips. But, it's depressing. Because, I don't want to believe that. But, you know what? I went round to sewage works once. It's not as bad as you think.
I bet it is.
It's not that bad. Because it's all done with, bacteria. There's no chemicals involved.
Right.
Did you know that?
No, I don't really.
Did you assume it was just basically a massive tank of bleach and all your stuff gets dumped in there?
There's some churning in my imagination, but I didn't take it much beyond that.
There's like a frothing thing.
Oy. Flipping heck. But I know they make special stuff for your garden in there. You can buy sewage cake.
You don't even know what they make now.
Do you know what's always in it? What's always growing in it?
What?
Tomatoes. Do you know why?
Are you serious?
Seriously, because they do not biodegrade. Yeah. So if you eat tomatoes, you are planting tomatoes down the sewage farm. True.
Do you know what else they have down at the sewage works?
Go on.
They have a skip. And this is when all the water comes in the first time. And it's they have a thing. They have it comes into a big sort of tank area. Mm-hmm. And there's like a dredger at the bottom. And it's pulling out all the grit because, like, you know, turn-ups on your trousers, like Caddick there washing his trousers, he'll have little specks of grit, you know, just caught in there. Mm-hmm. But there's one other thing that constitutes about 50% of the contents of this skip.
Wipes.
Just coming in. Not wipes. Perfectly formed, ready to be popped straight back in the can and restocked sweet corn.
Yeah, I've heard that rumour.
It's true. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
But then they scrape the toilet paper and now they're drying it and burning it to generate electricity. They're finding ways to burn poo to generate electricity. They're making house bricks out of your poo now.
Not mine.
And then... All right, they're making concrete out of... I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know. And then and then it all goes into a tank and they breed these little bacteria.
Oy.
And they all go in and they eat it all.
You human beings are disgusting.
And then they die and
thank
it's fine.
Goodness,
no,
I only expel glitter and rainbows.
Well, that's terrible because they can't eat that because that's inorganic.
No, exactly. It makes you dreams.
Anyway, the point being, there's no chemicals involved.
Well,
it's just a perfectly natural little thing. And all these animals just eat themselves stupid until they, like, die of ecstasy because they've
just
eaten.
You mean the bacteria, not...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the water just flows out clean as a whistle.
Gosh.
I mean, quite a dirty whistle. It's not a whistle you put in your mouth. But it can go straight into the river and it's fine. But they have to aerate
Ken,
the tanks.
Ken!
Come back, Ken!
I'm using it as the safe word.
It's so weird, the things that are coming in. Can you see that on your screen?
No, go on.
Okay.
Pipe up.
Well, James in Oxford says, good evening, Jacob and Catherine. I quite like being called Jacob. Do you like being called Catherine?
Yeah, I prefer it, but no one ever
does.
Do
you? Mm-hmm. Oh, Catherine, I'll call you Catherine. Did Kenneth, he didn't say that, did Ken think he was phoning George Galloway?
It's I think possible. He just knew he wasn't phoning Ian and he took full advantage. We all know this.
Yeah. John says, Alan Titchmarsh's Ground Force was an excellent gardening programme. I always used to tightly close my eyes whenever he spilt his seed on the garden path.
Oh,
I don't understand that.
No,
I don't understand that.
Come on.
And then there's a tweet from a guy that called Bunsen Burner that...
Yeah, I
don't think I'm going to read
it's
that
Jerry.
One. I'm not going to read
That's
that
Jerry.
One.
That's Jerry. Go on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? We got the dump button, right? If it sounds a bit weird in a second, it's because we've had to use the dump button. Are you standing by there, Ed? Take your cue from Catherine. He says, hey, there's nought wrong with coming second.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, let's just leave it there. Thanks very much, Jerry.
Fine.
I was fighting for you. I was batting for you, pal. But you start with something like that, I'm not going to...
Yeah, no, we can't really.
No, I can't defend that, Jerry. Not even for you.
Laura says, good evening. A generous listener once gave me... Oh, I think she works in radio. once gave me some soap nuts. Soap nuts, that's what they're called.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I called them. What did you call them?
We just called them nuts. We call them soap nuts. and, Jem says, Ken, why is the thing not working? Yes, he's trying the safe word there.
Yeah, we should maybe change it because a lot of people just shout, Ken!
People are not enjoying the sewage works. I found it fascinating.
Well, you'll never eat a tomato again without thinking of the old organic type.
What's wrong with that? John says, I was going to Newcastle for Christmas shopping later this year, but I might bump into Ken, so I'm bothered. Oh, no, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Ken was very respectful. I mean, there was nothing wrong. Well, I mean, he's passionate about what he's...
See, the problem we've had with Ken in the past is that he comes on.
Yeah.
And does a speech. It's not a conversation, is it?
No, that's true. That's very true. We've got some, like, actual content later on in the show.
Yeah.
If you want to
I'm
going to
ring someone up out of my diary.
Yeah.
Stuart
Wiggin. A guy who's in China. I thought we should pioneer. Because it's the new economy, isn't it, really?
They're going to be our new leaders.
At some point they're going to own us. They
America's
already own our power stations.
Russia's going to do America.
Yeah.
We're going to have to hop on with the Chinese.
We're trialling a new format at midnight called Good Morning China, which is going to be Britain's brightest, breeziest and earliest breakfast show with all your favourite gossip about all your favourite Chinese soap stars. possibly not soap nut stars.
No.
Because that stuff doesn't work. We'll be back after this. Talk Radio. I think this is the one show where that claim that it's a new kind of talk radio definitely holds quite a lot of weight. It's JCAP in for Ian Lee here until 1 o'clock this morning. You're very welcome. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. First though, let's catch up with the latest news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
JCAP in for Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good evening. It's a delight to be here. What a baptism of fire it's been. Thank you very much for your company up till now. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. You must know that by now, surely. Can I play my bit of Keith Brimmer Jones?
Can I play a bit of it? Because I find that really... I find the whole thing odd. The Great Pottery Throwdown,
yeah.
I enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I find it the perfect accompaniment to browsing property on Rightmove and Zoopla.
Oh, right, OK. So, do you like the painting one as well? It's like Watercolour Challenge, but not...
Oh, yeah, love that. That's great. That the new one on BBC Four?
Yeah.
Oh, and that guy who looks like he's about to step into his Victorian bathing machine in red and white striped, like, bathing apparel with his stupid moustache.
I like
that. I want to pin him down and shave it off.
Mm. Oh, OK, that's a step further than I was going to take it. But yes, I think I know the chap you mean. But I like the slow telly. I like the fact... especially the painters. Some of the painters are cack. And it's a bit like the sort of stuff where you're churning out GCSE art.
Yeah. Notice how no one... I think week 7 is the finger challenge to see if anyone can do fingers. You've made me think now.
Go on.
Should we do this now?
What?
Well, I pioneered on Sundays, but I think we should do it now. Slow radio.
Okay.
And other people...
I thought that's what we were already doing.
Well, I know exactly. But, you know, I've got a jingle. Other people have started doing this, I notice, Paddy O'Connell. But I was doing this very nearly a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I like slow radio.
Yeah.
It's normally, we should save it, shouldn't we? Towards the end of the show. Wind down. We want to keep the momentum up.
Okay.
just a momentum, suggestion.
As we lurch on. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so, this fella that you were talking about, what's he called? The Mugman.
Keith Brimmer Jones.
Right. Yeah. He's got the most... I mean, you think Trump's hair is a conundrum. This fella, he's combing everything forward. Well, he's combing what's left forward, isn't he?
It's all very raw with Keith, isn't it? If you haven't seen the show, so this is great. The great...
Pottery Throwdown.
Mm-hmm. Not British. Doesn't say British.
And no, well, they're thinking... not European market. Forget about those guys.
Yeah.
They're thinking American market now, yeah?
Oh, I see. Okay. Then why all the 60s Britpop? If you haven't seen it, so it's all set in Stoke and...
Potteries, isn't it?
Yeah, the potteries. And all these people have to throw pots and stuff. And there's this guy called Keith. And it's all out there with it very raw. You know, at the best of times, mate, it's raw. You know, I'm smiling now, but now I'm crying. I'm crying already and I'm not okay. Like, it's so... Dude!
He got really upset last week when he had to send someone home.
I didn't want to have to do this, but I've had to send you home. It's like, Keith, dude, it's a pottery competition.
But something that should cheer him up is the fact that he's charging 45 quid a mug online.
Who's the mug? So, and his... One has a certain expectation. Like, the guy, without any dispute, is a brilliant potter. He throws shapes on the wheel like you wouldn't believe, right? I mean, this guy has magical thumbs, and I'm speaking from personal... Anyway... So you would think, and there it is, it's all set in Stoke, and it's all about this sort of, you know, handcrafted stuff. It's back in the heartland of British pottery and stuff. And of course, you know, you would expect he's all about the merch now. All about the merch.
Totes.
And he's got his own line of pottery, which on his own website, he says he personally hand throws the design.
Yeah.
Not the actual pot, design.
He'll make one.
He makes one in... what's it called? Begins with a W on the coast. Whitstable.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful that I'm crying again and I didn't want to. And then gets on a plane, flies it to Trump's word, China.
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 And we've seen the footage of him sitting there with a mug on his lap.
Literally in the aeroplane. And then goes to the Chinese factory where they all make his pots, which are hand-finished, guys. Hand-finished.
Yeah, not hand-thrown.
No. Not necessarily hand-thrown. Not necessarily hand-finished by him. But you know, hands are involved, if
in
nothing
China.
Else, in terms of China. In terms of popular... And don't forget, Good Morning China in an hour's time. but Keith, you know, he's... it's all there, and did you see last week?
They were making...
It's a really nice pot, that. You've done a really nice pot, and it's really good. And then he picked it up and just went, the weight...
It's too heavy.
The weight's just right. No, he liked the weight,
and it
made him
cry.
Heavy,
because one was like, you could kill someone with that.
Yeah. You're killing me. You're breaking my heart.
They had to make vegetables, didn't they? So it was like...
Yeah.
It was a pumpkin with a spout on it, or an artichoke.
Yeah. It's like that thing with cakes. Look, I made a thing that looks like another thing.
Yeah.
So cake looks like an aeroplane.
There's a lot of faffing about, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just silly, really.
Anyway, so they made this thing, and he got upset about it, because the weight was just right.
Because it was just right.
Beautiful.
The weight of that is just right. So, anyway... It's all out there.
I think he's going to be a big star.
The guy needs help. Anyway, how long has the Great Pottery Throwdown been running for?
I don't know.
Because 3 years ago, with substantial budget involved, I would say, he made a video and put it on YouTube of him dressed as Adele, complete with wig and dress and everything.
Heels the lot.
Singing this.
There's a fire starting in my kiln. Hotter than that pottery scene in that Patrick Swayze film.
Wow.
Since you left, it's just been me and my despair. I've tried to fill the hole you left with a lot of earthenware.
Earthenware.
See all the things that I made just for you.
In China.
Don't underestimate the lengths I will go to.
To China.
I hope my works of clay would melt your heart of steel and convince you to take one more spin on this old potter's wheel.
Well, there's no place for filth like that. Anyway... you can see it for
yourself.
He means
his...
Have you ever thrown a pot?
Yeah.
Have you?
Not on a wheel.
Did you do the one where you make the worm?
I made a...
And then you do the coil?
No, I made a piggy bank, and that was like two half... Yeah, my mum still got it. And that's something you could kill a burglar with. So be very careful. Yeah. It's massive. And it's, you know, it's really, really heavy. And in the kiln, it kind of went a bit schlumpy. But it's even better for being such a massive porker. It's brilliant. I'll have to take a picture. I'll show you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's really heavy. It would make him cry. It would make him cry.
It's just right. Feel the weight on that. It's good and schlumpy.
It was schlumpy.
Yeah. Well, I was
have you ever thrown a pot?
That. No.
I quite fancy it. Sticking my thumbs in. And
It's when the thumbs go... It has got that factor, that TV show. Of you watch it and you kind of go, I could totally do that. I could totally do
That's
that.
That's rubbish.
Yeah, that is rubbish. Anyway, I wasn't just picking on Keith Brimjones. There was a story today in the Daily Mail.
And there are other videos, by the way, if you want to look online, because he also did Happy.
The Happy one is... he's not happy.
He's happy now, but in two minutes' time, not. If he gets the weight just right...
It's just right. He's not happy. Come on. You imagine...
I'd be happy. 45 quid a pot. Made by the Chinese.
China. China. James in Oxford has texted us. He says, will Dan the Antipodean be on Good Morning China? No, he won't. Dan the Antipodean's... We do a thing on Sunday mornings where we take a look at the week's news in Westminster. But we do it like a soap roundup.
Okay.
Like you get on This Morning or Lorraine.
Yeah, nice.
So I do like Dan Wootten.
Oh.
Ed is looking at me like...
You know who Dan Wootten is,
you
right?
You suck, dude. Do you know Dan Wootten? Do you like Dan Wootten? He likes him.
Do you?
That's great. I love Dan Wootten. How was that, Ed? Go on a scale of one to...
Fair to middling.
Fair to middling.
But you're doing Australian there, and Ed obviously is a completely different...
Isn't Dan from New Zealand?
Yeah, he's from Lower Hutt, the same place I was born.
Yeah.
Flipping it.
Barry, you're so, like brothers.
Well, yeah, except once again, you're doing an Australian accent.
Am I?
Yeah.
I thought I'd
So Australian's really wide, you know?
Yes.
And New Zealand's like really long.
Fish and chips.
Chicken, fish and chips.
Mm-hmm. I do pronounce it Brixot.
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 Yeah. Brussels.
I used to have neighbours and they worked for New Zealand Lim.
Lim.
New Zealand Lim.
I love some Lim.
Lim.
Lamb
delicious,
Lim.
Delicious Lim.
Delicious.
With chips.
Chops. Chops.
Chops.
I think, is it chops, Ed? Chops.
Fashion chops.
Fashion chops.
And you get wool from a lamb?
Wool?
Wool? Wool? My dad used to work for the wool board and I never figured out whether he was dealing with wool or dealing with people's wills.
The wool.
The wool board.
Some more tweets have come in saying, remind the bloke considering shopping in the Toon in Newcastle that we also have magnificent vegan cake shops. It is the home of vegan cake, Newcastle.
It's not.
Jesmond, the Jesmond Cake Company.
Oh.
Pure, pure vegan cakes and amazing too. I've had their cake pops. Oh my.
Cake pops. There's another thing that's unnecessary.
Yeah, but it's good because
they're a lot of fun, but come on, guys.
It's a lot of effort
making
them. I would never make them.
Here's the thing, right? You know when your kid starts going to school and they get sent home with homework that mum ends up doing? And it's quite clear that mum's doing it. Well, we did the life cycle of a frog in cake pops.
Wow!
Yeah. So, right, you just make your basic cake pops. And I bought loads of those. You can get eyes, like icing eyes, goggly eyes.
Oh, perfect.
So the first one was covered in those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second one had a pipe cleaner tail.
Oh, man. You've seen black some weird dreams.
With the eyes on. The second one was a, what they call a polywog.
No,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a tadpole with...
You can't call them that anymore.
Well, that's what they're called. No, that's can't. A tadpole with your legs.
Oh, really?
And then... A frog.
I did not know about the polywogs.
Well, exactly. You didn't do the homework.
I didn't eat the cake pops either.
No, I wouldn't have. By the time we got through flipping it, they were covered in bogey and all sorts. You don't eat children's cakes. That's the rule, isn't it? Not even your own children's.
Do you not? No, no. I'd have to. I'd have to. I couldn't. No. I'd have to.
No. If we bake at home, we'll do some that the kids have done. And then some safe ones.
My little boy, yeah, he hasn't had huge cake making experience, but he knows how to overwork pastry. He does that like a champion.
Yeah.
You've never had pastry so overworked. It's incredible. Some more business coming in.
What kind of business?
He says, you're right about sweet corn. Oh.
Okay.
I often see...
Go on.
I often see sweet corn in my poo, fully formed the day after eating it. What am I on about? Ken! Thanks very much. And Dan says, my mate had Chrissy Hind as her life model back in the 70s.
Oh.
That week they were doing hands. This is about painting and stuff.
Is this true or is this a joke?
Why would that be a joke?
I don't know.
Maybe it was Chrissy Hand and they were doing
Hind. Hand in pocket, and you need one.
I don't know.
I think there might be a gag in there.
Yeah. I don't know.
There might be.
Yeah. Also, Bunsen Burner. Was it Jerry, did you say?
Yeah, that's Jerry.
Jerry. It's quite sweet. He just tweeted Ian, saying, hi, Mr. Ian. I tried to sabotage your stand-in, but failed, and now I feel guilty. This man sounds nice.
You should feel guilty, Jerry. You know better than this.
Yeah, come on, Jerry.
Plus, it's he's okay. Not looking at Let's Twitter or anything like that because he's on strike.
Let's just hug it out.
So, sucking up to him in a week's time.
Yeah. On strike, honestly.
Well, some of us have principles.
And also, very sweetly, he's got some non-pottery potteries facts.
Go on.
One, the captain of the Titanic was a Stokey.
Was he?
From Stoke.
Oh.
I didn't know. Well, that's, like, isn't that massively inland?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder then. Reg Mitchell, the inventor of the Spitfire, was born in Stoke.
Handy.
Oh, very handy. Especially if you look into fire a pot, presumably.
Yep.
Okay. And Colby says, robots are dying in Fukushima as hybrid. No, that's just spam. Right. We'll take a break. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call, as always. Welcome anything on, pottery or painting or sweet corn, whatever you want.
Or anything else.
Yeah, it's all broken, really. Carry on.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I think the best part of the day is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you're in a position to have had a boozy lunch and then you're having a nap.
Oh, I haven't had one of them for ages. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when I'm looking at the weather and thinking, do I need an umbrella to go and get the kids? or shall I risk it? I'll risk it.
You should probably do it yourself. You can't just send umbrellas.
Oh, by the way, I've had a message through from Dan, who says, thanks for seeing the joke, re Chrissy Hind, but it was actually true. We'd love to hear the story. This is the thing, right? Phone us up. 0344 499 1000. Chrissy Hind. I've seen Chrissy Hind in person.
Have you?
It took me a while to realise it was her. Because I was at an awards ceremony and I was a few sheets to the breeze. There's a general theme running through this programme. And across from me, about two tables away, there was, well, a very thin man in massive sunglasses and a big jacket with shoulder pads. And I was thinking, who's that? Who's that? And then I realised it was the legend that is Chrissy Hind. Wearing sunglasses indoors, though. That's still.
I still laugh when I see that photo of Paul Weller and the other one saying, I saw these two old dears down at my doctor's. It's always weird to laugh.
Who's the other one in that scenario?
I can't remember. Is it like Ronnie Wood or someone like that?
Yeah.
Someone like that. Maybe the reason Dan didn't call us on 0344 499 1000 is because I have a feeling that Ian Lee's call for a general strike.
It's hit home.
I think so.
It's Angela. The zeitgeist.
Angela's got in touch and says, I can't call. I'm on strike. But the week is young.
But you're listening, Angela. So you're breaching the strike. Now we know all about it.
That's very true. Another one prepared to cross the picket line is Jerry, who joins us on the line now. Hello, Jerry.
Hello. I'm sorry. I've got to cross the picket line. I can't do it anymore. It's too stressful.
It is stressful. It is. But you know what? I don't think we need to pick sides on this. I don't see how we can't try and build a better future.
I love you all.
Well, we love you too.
How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm doing good tonight.
Good, because you've had a rough couple of weeks, haven't you?
It's a very rough couple of weeks. Medication has been changed and it's gone all... The carers have been reduced.
Yeah. Jerry's got Parkinson's, so some nights better than others, aren't they, Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry's a good one.
Hey, you're sounding fine. Fettle.
Please.
Yeah. Sounds like, there you go. That's got it. Yeah, you need a bit of privacy when you're on a national radio station. They could just go and listen next door, can't they?
Yeah. Put glimpse empty glass to the wall.
Yeah, that would be the trick.
Well, make sure he's a rebel, you see, Jerry.
Probably booked the clock. You know what happened to me today? You know what they made me?
What?
Go on, would you?
Mashing two fried eggs. Mashing fried eggs. Where did you get that idea from?
Mash and two fried eggs?
Yeah, but the takeaway sodden.
You ordered a takeaway. What did Jeff instead?
Probably she sent him a bill. From IT.
Mash and eggs?
Yeah,
fried eggs and mash?
Yeah, mash and...
That's so wrong. The texture of that's just all wrong.
It just looks like a face smiling at me. Your punches. Smash it on a plate. Pottery, break it.
Gosh.
The thing is, though, I don't eat them now, but I do remember I used to love fried eggs.
Oh, I love a fried egg.
The year my grandmother died, she died like the week before Christmas. And it was a time of, as you can imagine, tremendous joy and celebration because she was a horrible old witch.
Oh.
And so Christmas Day. Like, obviously, we just called off all the big... We were going to have a big family get-together and all that.
We
sort of called it all off. And so we were just... It was just me and Mum and Dad. And do you know what we had for Christmas dinner?
Go on.
Fried egg and chips.
Hey, do you know what? That'll do for me.
The best... I mean, what's better than fried egg and mash? Chips.
I mean, Jerry, if they'd given you chips with it, that's job
done. Yeah, that would be all right, wouldn't it?
I think they picked up with some charging. Two photos... It's like an old masterpiece.
Was it mashed because the chips went wrong? Did they just drop the chips?
I don't know. It's just the mash looks green as well.
Green?
It's green sensitive.
That's very Fanny Craddock, isn't it? Green mashed potato. Was it piped?
Piped?
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by...
You know, like when you pipe icing round a cake, had they done it in a sort of fancy way?
Oh, that's kind of... They're baked cakes. Mm. I like meringue. Meringue, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just been on the dishes, it's like slop.
I think that's the point, isn't it? They were serving up things that were soft and that would go with everyone, but, I mean, you've got teeth, haven't you?
Yes.
Windscale?
Sorry?
Sellafield.
Sellafield?
And you put your plant on the northwest coast somewhere.
Mm. Wow.
Well, do you like, are the vines still going in Australia? The vines? Australian
vines? The vines? The Australian bag. I have no idea. I'm so not up on all that, because that's Ian's bag, isn't it? He knows about it.
Okay, well, you went to them.
Me? Crying? self-interference?
Jimmy, that's a good noise.
Have you heard Nigel?
Nigel? Yes!
Speaking of
oh,
which.
God! I loved Nigel!
Have you done with these videos, haven't you, Jim?
I didn't know there was a video of Nigel.
There are so many videos.
Amazing. I've heard him singing along to the Madonna, and I thought that was pretty spectacular. I enjoyed that.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
His windy one was so emotional.
I'm hoping he'll call me at some point.
Anyway, there's no pottery there now.
No,
there's nothing there. Something sold to China, Mr. Udigawa.
You can say that, but I think it was my 40th birthday. I went to Stoke, and I went to the B&Q. In fact, I went to two B&Qs in Stoke.
Wait, what was your birthday?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you mean Nigel Morrison or whatever his name is? Morrissey. Isn't he used to? No, Homebase. Homebase is good.
Isn't Spode from Stoke?
Spode?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. So he's still going. Adams was the first one. Then Wedgwood, Dalton's, they've all gone now.
Yeah.
All sold up to Oriental Way.
To China.
China in your hand. It's all gone.
It's brilliant. It's like Nigel's here.
I don't know where H's references can go off it.
Yeah, I'm scared of the...
I texted you the other week on your Sunday show about Mr. Claypole.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah, Mr. Claypole.
Oh, that's nice of you, thanks.
He's deceased now. He's deceased.
Has he?
Yeah, Mr. Claypole, he kind of died years ago. Sorry to bring him death up on the show.
No, it's all right. We it's all good.
Rent a ghost from it.
Yeah. Rent a ghost. Dobbing the horse, remember that?
All right, let's stop remembering the 80s.
Teddy could put a bet on his dobbing.
Do you know, maybe what we should do is just make this week just an amnesty.
You know, all right, stuff you remember, call me now.
If you want to ring in about Brexit, Trump, Muslims, 80s TV, you know, let's just get it all out of your system this
white
week.
White dog poo, what was that all
and
about?
And then when Ian Lee comes back next week, hopefully, you know, you can just, you know, you'll feel like you've vented it. You've purged it all from your system.
No, I mean, there's a never-ending appetite for
that. I'm going to send Kathy's picture of me. Fried eggs and mash.
Well, I can hardly wait.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
do
the
it.
Sort of pictures I've been sent on Twitter recently, fried eggs and mash would be a blessing.
Oh, shut up.
Lot of sausage. No, he's not tracked me down yet.
Also, some impressions I like Frank Spencer. I'm going now.
Yeah, I think you'd better.
Bye.
Jerry, thanks so much for calling.
Take care.
0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Fried egg and mashed potato.
Mm.
That's just not.
That's not a dinner.
That's like.
That's right. Even when I was a student, I would have drawn the line at that. I would have said, right, no, enough's enough.
Yeah.
I've got to go to the shop.
There are some combinations that are just not.
If you've got potatoes and you've got eggs, egg and chips.
It's got to be egg and chips. What could you possibly do that wasn't?
Just mush, yucca.
Or you could, like, do scrambled eggs and kind of hash browns.
There's so many things. You could do a little rosti effort.
Yeah, you definitely.
Beautiful. Oh, you know what you can make?
Go on.
Spanish omelette.
There you
tortilla de patata.
Oh, I forgot about your Spanish thing. You know all the Spanish, don't you?
Now, when I was in Spain, I made it my business to learn how to make a really good tortilla de patata. Because apparently that's how you attract a fine Spanish man.
Did it work?
Oh, well, it worked a couple of times.
Oh!
Worked a couple of times.
Did you just go down?
It's all about the right pan.
Did you just go down the bus station with it?
Check out
anyone?
My
anyone?
Check out my omelette.
Wow,
big thick one, yeah, beautiful. Oh, there's a whole art to it because you can get it right on one side, and then it's all runny on the other side. No, it's not good.
I'm guessing cook it on the stovetop to a certain point, and then whack it under the grill.
That's cheating. No, you've got to flip it.
Oh, you have to flip it.
Yeah, yeah. It's all going to be done really slowly and carefully.
And then a flash moment. Of the flip.
Yeah.
Did you flipped it in midair?
Yeah. We're not playing games. Or you get a plate.
Oh, come on.
If it's a big one.
Oh, come on.
Come on, because it's big. It's thick. It's about 2 inches of potato and egg and onion there. You don't want to be messing about.
Take the pan outside, rest the handle on a house brick, stamp on the handle. You'll propel it into the air.
Beautiful. I'll do a good one.
Scald your groin with boiling hot runny egg. I don't know. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. We'll be back with more stuff after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, indeed. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. You can do about whatever you like. Strike be damned. I never thought I'd find myself. You grow up. I was basically the son of communists. Never really thought I would find myself on a national radio station saying strike be damned. But you know what? Strike be damned. I don't care about Ian Lee's stupid thing about bland radio. I don't even care. And I know that's contentious. I know we all love him. But you know, sometimes you've got to just say this is not right.
Hashtag Radio Bland.
Yes, indeed. Hey, there was this article in the Daily Star today. I started telling about this about an hour ago, and then I can't remember what happened. I think Kelly rang. So this woman, a scrounging mum, she begged strangers to fund a £5,000 Disney trip, and she scrapped the appeal after raising just £10. £10. Who gave her the £10? Do you reckon it was her as a sort of an alias thing? I don't know. She said that she was unable to work enough hours to fund the trip to Florida because of childcare. And apparently 18,000 people shared it on Facebook, shaming her and stuff. I saw there was one doing the rounds last week, actually, on Facebook that I saw of a young woman saying she needed some money to fund traveling the world. And her promise was to use it to really broaden her spiritual horizon. And she promised that she would post as much stuff on YouTube as she possibly could, and she would talk to as many different people from other cultures as she possibly could with the money. And I don't think she raised the money either. But how do we reach this point now where we're asking strangers to fund trips like that? I mean, should I do? Is that something? Yeah, and it's always couched in terms of, this is not for me. This is, you know, this is for my kid. My little boy has always, he's always wanted a Zeppelin. My little boy. That's his, you know, ever since they were yay high, my children have always dreamed of owning a Lamborghini Huracan 2017 edition. So please give whatever you can because they really deserve it. And I can't be bothered to get it for them. I'm turning into Julie Hartley Brewer, man. This is terrifying. What the hell happened to me? First I'm talking about union busting, and now I'm saying, what's happened to me? There's no such thing as global warming. Come on, guys, grow up. It is a great pleasure to have your company here today, stapling the smile up into the corners of my mouth. There's no such thing as global warming. Julie Hartley Brewer. I do the Sunday breakfast show here on Talk Radio ordinarily. And following us at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sundays is the best of Julia Hartley Brewer. And then at 11:03, we have the weather. if you haven't heard it, it's fantastic because she puts a lot of effort into the best of show. She sings the songs of the musicals. She did the songs of Anthony Newley and Tommy Steele on Sunday this week, yesterday. And the week before that, she was doing Sondheim, which, you know, is not everyone's cup of tea, but I have to say, her Send in the Clowns was stupendous. No one has a singing voice like Julia Hartley Brewer. No, I'm sorry, but I do infantilize my speech that I do like Katie Hopkins, actually. They both do this, but they talk like that, and they don't do that because I am like a little girl, and now you cannot tell me off because I am a little girl. I'm not charming. There's no such thing as global warming! maybe that's just how she sounds to me. I don't know. Look, I've been trying to stir up a beef with another presenter on this network for a long time. No one's really I would say the closest I've come is Ian Lee indirectly calling me bland.
No, he wasn't calling you bland.
Well, he did a bit.
No, he never.
He mentioned, look, I'm going to disclose it now. I heard him on Thursday. I heard his tirade about bland radio. I heard him single out the people he liked. Nick Ferrari. Okay, fine.
Paul Ross.
Yeah, as a sort of afterthought consent, and no mention of me. Not one mention of me, knowing full well I was coming here this week. A deliberate goad, if you ask me.
Are you doing a thing now, or is this real?
I'm being very real with you, Kath. Very real.
Couldn't be realer.
Here's the thing. I'll just say that I know he's not going to listen to this. There's no point. You know, and you can tell him if you want. That's cool. Ian, do you need a hug, buddy? Are you okay? Because if you feel a need to shut down the whole of radio just while you go away for a week, how scared are you running, Ian, that you'll hear that other people will hear something else?
I don't know
else.
Where you get this.
That's good. You know,
this buddy, idea that he's gone away for a week.
Let's just hug it out. Let's just hug it out. Come on, the guy's gone away for a week. I guarantee. Now, you know, I'm just saying. Can someone go and see if the
gosh,
lights?
Another
right
conspiracy theory. You'll be telling me the Earth's flat next.
We
had a flat earther on the other day.
Did you?
Yes.
You lucky thing.
And guess who I'm in the process of booking for
chair of the Flat Earth Society.
Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth.
These are people who believe the Earth is hollow, and yes, there are actual Nazis living inside it.
Fact. And the dark side of the moon. That's where they've got their moon base. The V2 rockets. No.
There isn't a dark side of the moon because the moon.
Oh, is this something you
isn't
know?
Real, is it? Because the Earth is flat. No one's ever been there.
Well, I can, as someone who got quite fascinated by the whole flat Earth thing, I can tell you that you're right. The moon is a projection suspended at the top of the atmo layer. It's not an atmosphere.
No, because that would imply a sphere, yeah.
It's an atmo layer. That's what they call it.
And do you know why the flat Earth theory is? I mean, it's clearly a flat Earth.
Mm.
Because if you dip a tennis ball in water, what happens to water? Yeah, it falls off. Seriously, that was what was given as an example.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the only reason that the water doesn't fall off the sides of the Earth, ice walls.
Mm. Now, everyone knows about the ice walls. So the way it works is the Earth is a flat disc and surrounded by ice.
Turtle.
Surrounded, but no, because I can tell you about gravity and how that works in a minute.
There isn't gravity.
No, it's acceleration.
Yeah.
Oh, they cover
they
that
told
one?
Us that. Okay, fine. Even though she told us that part of her reasoning was because she'd been in a zero gravity flight. I went, but had you though? Because you told me that there was no gravity. But carry on. There was quite a lot of that going on.
Oh, man.
She was great.
That's so cool.
But Hollow Earth.
Wouldn't it be great to believe in something like that? Because I sort of hate... Sometimes I hate being
knowing
cynical.
Stuff.
Well, you just, yeah, having a vague sense of enlightenment. But, like, wouldn't it be fun if you could actually believe, if you could make your mind get there and believe in something like that?
Like my little girls believe that you can ride a rainbow, you know.
Oh, that's adorable.
I know.
Did you tell them that?
No, I didn't. They made that up by themselves. And I didn't do the face when they told me it. I'm holding the face until they're at least 12.
Really?
Yeah, then they'll get the full face.
Yeah, it's difficult that one, isn't it? Because you don't want to kill that imagination and that joy. And
the other day, the rest of it. We were sent a lovely fruit basket by the mother of a family who came in to sort of sit in with us one night.
Yeah, did you eat it? Because it's not like cake, is it?
Well,
fruit's okay.
Ian said, "Which bit do you want?" And I went, "I'm not really bothered." He said, "You have the pineapple. I won't eat the pineapple."
Right.
So I took the pineapple home and I put it in the fruit basket. Didn't explain it. Next morning, fruit bowl. We haven't got a basket, perverts. So the next morning the kids get up and my youngest said, "Mummy, Father Christmas has been."
Oh.
I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Santa brings pineapples. I've seen it on Charlie and Lola. There's a Charlie and Lola where he brings." So I went, yeah, fair enough.
And there goes my heart.
Yeah, I know, aren't they great?
That's adorable. Pineapples, though. Pineapples and cabbages.
I haven't cut into it yet. It's just going a little bit.
This is the thing. It starts to go fizzy. Pineapples and cabbages. You got to do it in one sitting.
Well, have you?
Because
I've not even started. I've not even cut it yet.
You never revisit a cabbage.
But how
long? Second time.
How long can I keep it until I chop it up?
Oh, you can keep it for months.
All right. Well, it's just going a little bit frayed around the top.
Yeah, the little core bit starts to. You can just get your thumb in there.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we'll have a go in the next couple of days.
And it will go fizzy and so. You can make an alcoholic drink, can't you, with the rind?
I can make an alcoholic drink out of anything.
Yeah. And I can't, they cannot arrest you. If you put old oranges in a carrier bag and put on a radiator, they cannot arrest you. That is a fact.
Banana skins,
can,
I heard.
Yeah, yeah. You can put that in the oven for 3 days and they cannot arrest you. Fact. They cannot touch you. Also,
natural product, isn't it?
Yeah. Pigeon poo. They cannot.
Shut up.
They cannot.
Shut
they
up.
They cannot.
They did not.
They cannot. They cannot arrest you. True fact.
Wow.
Yeah. But do you take my point about cabbages as you can't revisit a cabbage?
Well, I have.
I've got better, but
it's never the same.
You cut it in half, right?
Because you think I don't need all this.
Yeah, you cut it not quite in half because there's like the stalk.
Yeah,
bit,
you missed
right?
the hard bit.
Yeah, so you cut it in just under half, and then you make coleslaw,
mm-hmm.
and you sort of chew your way through that morosely, thinking, "Well, this was
or
good
a minestrone."
For me.
I like a minestrone with cabbage in. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, no, that's delicious. Kinky. That's not right.
Mm-mm.
Italians don't eat cabbage.
Of course they do.
They do not.
Yeah, they'll call it something else.
When have you ever seen a cabbage recipe with...
Italian and eating cabbage? Call me now. 0344-499-1000.
I'll take that bet. Mm-hmm. No one's going to ring.
They are going to ring.
No, there is no known cabbage recipe from Italy. Fact. It's all German. It's all sauerkraut and stuff like that.
I've got a book, says Italian cooking, right? And the thing for minestrone says put some cabbage in it. So I put some cabbage in it.
No.
And it was fine.
Absolutely not.
Beautiful.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, I'm sorry. I don't accept that.
Well.
Fine. 0344-499-1000. I'll take...
Controversy.
The thing is, you've only got to get one person to say, like...
Hello,
yes,
I'm Italian and I eat the cabbage. Italian.
Yeah, and we'll know if it's a fake accent. You're just going, hey, it's very nice here today. I've got a lovely thing for you here, ladies. Do you want maybe some
all
black
right,
pepper?
Okay, Ken.
And is this your husband? And he has to sit here now and just take it while I flirt with you in this restaurant.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, you like a bit of black pepper, madam?
Look at the size of this.
Oh, and sir, you have to take this, don't you? Because you know I could have you in a fight. Yeah,
oh,
take it.
Love them.
Anyway.
Anyway, if that's you, 0344-499-1000.
Yeah, totally, totally. Jem says, at my school, it was all the rage to smoke tea leaves.
Yeah.
Well, the dust in tea bags.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, they can't do you for that.
No, they can't do you for it because...
Because it's a waste of your time. Brilliant.
We were idiots, weren't we?
We were idiots. Speaking of wastes of your time, we're back. hey, 20 minutes, though. It's going to be Good Morning China.
How do you say Britain's Good Morning China? Ni Hao China. How do you say China in Chinese?
Stuart will tell us.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, and that is the other thing, what you can do, what is legal.
Yeah, but...
But you won't sleep for like a week. Mm. So, I mean...
Sleep is so precious to me.
Is it?
Yeah. Today I dropped the kids off at school, and this time I was dressed. I didn't have my pyjamas on underneath my clothes. I normally do.
Do you really? Is
oh,
that
yeah,
really? You're one of the... Really?
Absolutely.
You do? Wow.
And there's something quite delicious about standing next to all the yoga mums in their lycra, and I know that underneath my jeans I've got my Stormtrooper pyjamas on.
I when I take my little boy to school, and we both take him most mornings because we're lucky we get to do that. And but I'm not going to lie to you, rarely have I showered before that, and my hair ends up looking like Keith Brimmer Jones, the guy off the Pottery Thread.
I don't care first thing in the morning.
I get a weird sort of grease quiff thing happens.
That takes the kids to school in the morning, just rolled out of bed, literally just rolled out of bed.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that picks them up, done. I don't know what the other mums think I do for a living, but they definitely think I'm up to no good. And again, delicious. I'm very satisfied by that.
It would be quite fun, wouldn't it, to just mess with people and just let them speculate wildly on...
Postman thinks I'm working from home. Every time I open the door to him in my
dressing
gown...
People can see your air quotes.
Well, air bunnies. Mm. Thinks I'm working from home. Thinks I'm a belle de jour.
Really?
I reckon. Yeah, yeah,
Tricking.
Yeah. Amazon man makes several calls a day because he knows I'm in, apparently.
There's a woman, right, round the back of where I live.
Uh-huh.
Now, most days, she opens the door to the postman, like, in her nightie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I see her coming home at about 9 o'clock
right.
after I've drop my kid off at school, right? And like she's obviously like coming in. She's got like an overnight bag.
This is me.
With her.
I am that woman. I'm that neighbour.
But she can't
produce. I've seen her coming in at 3-4 in the morning.
But she's dressed like a business secretary, like a. She's not wearing stormtrooper pajamas.
No, but I'm not wearing stormtrooper pajamas now. I consider myself a very turned out kind of woman.
You are.
After about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. But so what? What's she doing? She can't be producing a late night talk. This is like the only one there is.
It could be any one.
I could ring her and say, do you do the other
there
one?
There are
then?
Very few women that do this job because it's like, you know.
It's not.
Dodgy, isn't it?
Dodgy?
Well, a bit dodgy. If you know, fortunate that I can drive here and back.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it's kind of a, you know, who wants to be trotting around at 3 o'clock in the morning? Not many.
No.
Not many.
No, I can understand.
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you quite naturally nocturnal, or have you just conditioned yourself?
Well, before this, I used to work on a breakfast show, didn't I? So I've never worked, not for about 10 years, I've not worked normal. I've never worked 9 to 5, ever.
Right.
Because I've always, you know, before this, I was a journalist and newsreader. You know, you always work the funny shifts.
Yeah. Can I say this?
Mm.
As in literally that on air?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm quite pleased. Someone's got in touch on Twitter. Good evening. Hedy. I live with 3 Italian girls.
Excellent.
Here we go. They taught me swears. The Italian for cabbage is... WTF is that?
Beautiful.
The word for spud means lady bits.
No, it doesn't.
Apparently.
What are you, potato?
Nice potato.
If it looks like a potato, you need to see a doctor.
Oh, my God, mashed potato. Fried eggs. Gets worse.
Gosh.
Anyway,
sleep, I think, is amazing. And so I dropped the kids off this morning, came home, went back to bed.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel bad because I rang you at WhatsApp, but you must be quite practicing turning your phone off.
Well, I just don't answer it. I can sleep through anything.
Can you? I can't sleep through anything.
Mm-hmm. But they've got builders next door. Don't care.
You're going to tell us about that documentary.
Oh, yes. So I got up a little bit earlier, right? Normally I get up about 2.
Uh-huh.
And then it gives me an hour to get ready.
Yeah.
I go and pick up
an
the
An hour? Wow.
This does not happen by accident.
Like so, 4 to 7 minutes, depending on the train.
Yeah. So you don't know what state I'm in before. So I got up a little bit earlier and I thought, I'll watch a documentary. I love documentaries.
Do you?
And so I looked on the old...
I like Justin's House on CBeebies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you...
Which I assume
Giggle
is a
Biz is amazing, isn't it?
No. But
yes.
No.
Keith Fitt, champion.
No.
Keith Fitt.
No,
no, they're great. So I
got into a protracted Twitter conversation. I'm sorry.
Go on.
With Stephen Kinman, who plays the robot in Justin's House. If you haven't seen it, you probably haven't seen this, but Robert the Robot. It's basically Noel Edmonds' house party, but frankly, more adult.
Good.
It's on CBeebies. Yeah.
But good.
Yeah. And the guy who plays Robert the Robot, he's a brilliant comic actor. He's very, very funny.
They did Shakespeare recently.
Did they?
The kids
love
it.
Oh, yeah. He played Shakespeare, didn't he? Yeah. That was at the proms.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's a fine actor and very funny. And I started asking him all the sort of the big questions about artificial intelligence and stuff. And so, because what are the laws? Asimov's law of robots, right? There are 3 laws, which is law number 1 is no robot must ever harm a human.
Right.
No robot should harm
like
itself.
Like in Terminator.
No robot should harm itself unless it... has to do so to prevent harm being caused to a human, blah, blah, blah. And so I started asking him these, but trying to couch it in terms of Justin's house. So it's basically Justin lives in this house with this robot. The robot is basically like a waiter who does all the dusting and stuff.
Basically the parent, isn't he?
And so I was throwing him all these philosophical questions like, okay, would Robert the Robot... push Justin onto the sofa if it meant that by doing so he would prevent a custard pie from striking him in the face? Because that's a conundrum for a robot.
That happens.
You know, will you cause some harm to prevent greater harm?
Yeah. And what did he say?
He said, I have to go now. I can't. I think he said something about it. He'd just be happy doing the dusting. Thanks.
Oh,
so
his
nice
place.
He didn't break character. It was really nice.
Oh, how lovely.
Anyway, so this documentary, because you love documentaries.
Yeah, this documentary is nothing like Justin's House, right? If it was Justin's House, there would definitely be, I don't know, there'd be apologies on air and all kinds of things going on. One of those kind of Blue Peter things where they, we I let have, ourselves down.
I have.
And theories. More importantly, we let you down.
Mm.
Yeah. I had a look on the catch-up thing.
I have theories about Justin.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've got so many theories about
have
Justin.
Have you?
I think Justin would be brilliant, right? And I mean Justin Fletcher now, not Justin as in Justin's
yeah,
House.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he would be brilliant in a kind of prime suspect or something like that as a psychotic.
Oh, yeah. That's
a don't you think? Mm. Imagine.
My theory, we will get psychotic to a documentary.
Killer. Yeah, no, it's cool.
My theory is that... obviously, I'm not saying this has happened. This has not happened. Categorically, this has not happened. But in my head, I imagine that he...
For legal reasons, this has not happened.
Yeah, this has definitely not happened. But I sometimes when I look at him, I see sort of a hurt and an anguish behind the eyes. And fancifully, I imagine, purely in my own imagination, that he went to like a really... You know those clubs in Vauxhall, those highly specialised gentlemen's...
Oh, no, I don't, but I can imagine.
Gentlemanly sort of clubs mm-hmm. where gentlemen, you know.
Get put in their place.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that he saw a guy die in one of those clubs.
Flipping heck!
In a sort of really awful, like drowning in, like whatever. But he can't tell anyone because he's a beloved children's entertainer on TV. Only in my head.
This did not happen.
Only in my head. And so every time he's doing, like, time Justin to sign House, or whatever,
you sign horrific murder.
I saw a man die.
No, stop it.
I can't tell anyone. That's in my head. That's just in my head.
You're such a weirdo. I'm definitely writing
that to
your mother.
Come on, you know that that's plot. You can see it in the guy's eyes. You can't see it in the guy's eyes.
It's not there.
It has not happened.
Anyway, so this documentary I saw...
No, we have gone.
Very quickly. Oh. It's a Storyville one, right? And it's called Sex in Chains.
Stars
coincidentally.
Justin Fletcher. It does not.
It's amazing. If you get a chance to... I don't know how much longer it's going to be on the catch-up thing. Cause it's like BBC Four Storyville, isn't it? Sex in Chains is about a woman who is like this Southern belle. It's set in the 90s... Well, it happened in the 1970s. It's a real thing that happened. Southern Belle, and you might remember it because it was quite a famous tabloid case. Southern Belle fell in love with a Mormon. Mm. She believes, and you see, it's all like mostly through her testimony. Mm. She believes that they were about to get married and he was whisked off by the church and sent on a mission to England. Mm. So, being the reasonable type she is, she decides to go to England as well and take a bodyguard,
okay,
her mate, and a pilot.
Bit weird.
And to spirit him away from the Mormons. And she whisks him off to this hideaway cottage in Devon because she believes they're going to get married. And he can't do anything because he's been, as she sees it, brainwashed by the Mormon church.
But he thinks he's being a good Mormon.
He says this, Mormon. Exactly. Yeah. So her response to his change in personality towards her and lack of ardour for her is to chain him to the bed and have sex with him for 3 days.
For 3 days?
3 days.
Did she give him zinc supplement?
She said there was a lot of food, a lot of fun, a lot of sex. He, in the meantime...
I don't want to come back to the lavatorial.
I don't... Oh, no, he was... Right, they say chained. He was actually roped, so it was just around his ankle. He could go to the loo. She wasn't an animal.
Oh!
So then they go into London once it's all been sorted out. 3 days of that. That's that. That's you sorted.
The man is husk.
Deprogrammed.
Yeah, he weighs 4 kilos.
So they go back to London and she gets caught and he says that she kidnapped him and abused him, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says he's only saying that because the Mormon church is going to excommunicate him for having hanky-panky outside marriage. But it's all that. And I'm not finished it yet, but it's brilliant. Yeah. It's so interesting. I can't work out whether she is bonkers.
Yeah.
All right.
Find out tomorrow.
But I think 3 days is excessive.
Let's have the news.
Talk Radio.
I'm so excited about the next hour. We have Good Morning China, the earliest breakfast show in Britain. Also, we've got a book at bedtime, and Kath's going to be reading that, and she doesn't know it yet, but it's moderate to severe erotica. Let's catch up with the latest news headlines.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Joke Yap, in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, very good morning to you. It's Jake Yap on a Tuesday morning. Good Lord, how extraordinary. And it's lovely to be here. I'm here until Friday. It's been a fun show. It's been a great fun show. I know there's been a degree of, I don't want to say freezing me out. But I know that there's a feeling that I've broken a picket line by being here tonight. Ian Lee announced last week that he's going on strike this week, in protest against Bland Radio. And here I am. Cheers, pal. We were talking earlier about Justin Fletcher, and James has texted us to say that Peter Sarah Fenwick's told an anecdote about meeting Justin Fletcher, which explained everything you need to know about the real Mr. Tumble. I need to dig that out. I want to know what that's all about. And also, Ted says that documentary is brilliant. Oh, Ted saw the same documentary as Kath. Says the woman is dynamite but nutty. Love, sex, chains, kidnapping, prison. Well, that sounds like Justin's house to me. And Nat asked, hiya, Jake and Catherine. Can I ask, are you doing Who Wants to Eat a Chili on Air tonight? If so, I'll stay till the end. No, we're not going to be doing Who Wants to Eat a Chili on Air. That's reserved for Sunday because it involves, quite a high degree of preparation. What we do have is a book at bedtime. And what I'm thinking, I'm taking inspiration from the Daily Mail today, which has a story that Netflix is going to basically turn itself into a choose-your-own-adventure platform. If you remember those... I know I'm not trying to do retro 80s stuff, but I'm just saying that they're basically going to turn TV dramas on Netflix into that. They're going to trial it anyway and let people decide on the outcomes of big dramas and stuff. Which sounds ambitious and possibly a waste of everyone's time. I don't know if I could be bothered. But anyway, what I'll do with the book at bedtime, because I just sort of stopped writing it basically when I ran out of time. So you can choose what happens next. Maybe we'll cast a vote and people can decide tomorrow. In the meantime, though, it's time for us to launch an actual new strand, a new feature. I'm really excited about this. I'm genuinely very excited about this. China, or as Donald Trump would have us pronounce it, China, is the new world now. And as Western Europe dons its Jim Jams and prepares to say night-nights to the world, the sun is rising in the east for a bright new day. I say the sun is rising. It is for those lucky inhabitants that can see it for smog. Here at Talk Radio, we're always ahead of the curve and ready to embrace change. And so it's time for what I believe is Britain's first bright and breezy breakfast show for our friends in the East. It's time for Good Morning China. Now, I've tried to basically do the GMB theme tune in a sort of Chinese pentatonic style. So it's a partial success. Here we go.
Good Morning China on Talk Radio.
It's not bad, is it? It's all right. Yeah. Joining us now, live, Vents, is the Orient's equivalent to Ross King. That's mean. He's much better than Ross King. But what I'm saying is it's his roundup of all that's exciting and new in China. He's a writer, broadcaster and comedian and seems like a thoroughly lovely chap. I've never met him. But his name is Stuart Wigan and he joins us on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
That's okay. You're very welcome.
Paint us a picture. Where are you right now?
I am in my living room in the west of Beijing, and there's no smog outside, in fact.
Is there no smog?
Blue day.
Is there smog generally? Is that really a thing?
It is a thing. I mean, in a year, I guess, let's say there's 20 days of smog, 20 bad days of smog.
Okay. Well, we're not doing so brilliantly in London either, are we? Let's face it, the air pollution
thing. I've heard.
How long have you been in China?
I've been here for a decade, which I'm not sure is good or bad, but yeah, it's a decade now. I've just got to that milestone.
And what sent you out there? Have you always had a lifelong fascination with China? What was it?
No, not at all. I left England after university because I thought I would like to, see the world, young and a bit stupid, and ended up in the countryside because we got cheated by our agent who helped us move to Beijing. And then after a year in the countryside, I didn't really think that I'd experienced Beijing, and then decided to stay longer, and then I just got stuck.
just got in the job and got some nice opportunities and ended up getting stuck here.
And so what do you, because I don't, I mean, I've seen your, I first saw you on Propeller, which is, I'm going to say not in the premium real estate of the TV guide here in the UK. It's
true,
sort of, it's somewhere up the back a bit, although not too far up the back. And you were doing a show called C4, which was like a sort of a strange kind of comedy magazine show thing. And then I saw stuff that you've done online. You've done some very funny, nice little travelogue kind of videos in China and stuff. And is that what you do for a living?
Yes, that is my full-time job. I also do other various things related to video. But yeah, basically that is my full-time job. I do comedy sketches and comedy travel shows, which are basically a rip-off of the Carl Pilkington shows. And we make them for Chinese state media, which is known for having a sense of humor.
Oh yeah, big time. They love the lols.
Yeah.
And did you had a thing go viral, didn't you, about potatoes?
We've had a few things go viral. One that went viral was seen in the UK. Yes, it was about potatoes. Yeah. It was basically that all Chinese people, bar none, believe that British people only eat potatoes. And it's a stereotype, but also true.
And so you did a guide, is that right? What was it you did?
Yeah, we did a parody of a very popular Chinese show, which is about food. It's called A Bite of China, and it's this beautifully shot show with a lovely hazy videography and beautiful music. And then we did a show about if it was The Bite of Britain, and all it was potatoes. And it had Lloyd Grossman's voice over the top. Well, me pretending to be Lloyd Grossman.
So, I mean, obviously, you've been there a decade. You must, because you speak fluent. Is it Chinese? Is it Mandarin? What do you speak?
Mandarin, not fluent, but it's okay. It's okay, not fluent, which is it's appalling since I've been here 10 years. But yeah, it's okay.
How do you say good morning, China?
早上好，中午。Do you want to try that, Jake? 早上好，中午。You could just say 早.
早上好，中午。
Yeah, there you go. 中午 is China. So.
Oh, okay. We were wondering that earlier today. There you go.
There you go.
So, but you've been there for a decade, and I'm sure you can afford a plane ticket back. So you must love the place. What are the kind of the things that have sort of lured you to stay in China?
I think the food is excellent. I think I quite like the peculiarities of Chinese culture and Asian culture in general. Also, my job pays quite well, so that's, you know, that's another sticking point for me.
It does help. Tell us about the food, because there's an amazing video. In fact, I was going to show it to Kath. The Drunken Shrimp video.
Right, okay, so we went to a place called Shaoxing, which is kind of near Shanghai. It's not really, but in Chinese terms, it is near Shanghai.
Yeah.
And at this place, they drink something called yellow rice wine, and they use it to cook with. And sometimes when they cook with it, before cooking the stuff, they just drown the stuff in the yellow rice wine. So they'll put live crabs in, and then they'll drown, obviously, and then they'll cook them, and then you eat them. But they put the shrimp in, and they kind of drown, but you eat them just after they've kind of dozed off. So they're technically still alive and raw.
Oh,
so, yeah, so that's exactly what we did when we went shouting. And it was, I mean, it wasn't the best of experiences, I have to tell you.
I was going to say, whatever they're paying you, I'm not sure it's enough. That, for me, might be it.
Me too.
They were kind of leaping out the bowl, weren't they? It was... But you went in for a second one. You went in for a second one.
Yeah, because I've got a director telling me second one.
Oh, okay, all right. And what's the you were talking about the culture and stuff? What was the thing about haircuts and the lunar month and stuff?
Okay, well, there's a few things about there's a few strange cultural behaviors about this. So at the start of Chinese New Year, just before Chinese New Year, you're supposed to get your hair cut. Not sure why. I think it's because, I don't know, it's casting off the old and welcoming the new year. Hmm. However, at the end, towards the end of Chinese Lunar New Year, there's another festival called the Dragon Head Raising Festival. And if you get your hair cut on that day, your uncle will die. So don't get your hair cut on that day.
Your uncle will die.
Do it at the start. Yeah, your uncle. It's a certain uncle. I can't remember which one. I think it's like the first brother of your mother. I'm not sure. So if you don't like him...
Yeah. I was going to say, if he's the creepy one. Yeah. Wow. Bizarre.
But normal. Totally normal here. So on that day, basically the hairdressers will shut down because they don't get any business.
Wow. But it's only one day, right?
It is only one day, yeah.
Okay, well, there
you are. They're open 24 hours all the other days, so I don't think it hits their bottom line too much.
Are they really open 24 hours?
Yep, you can get a haircut whenever you want.
Wow.
That's another thing that kept me in China.
Yeah, I can imagine that. To be fair, in all your videos, you have very neat hair.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Are you all right to sort of do this across the week and tell us some fascinating stuff about China?
Sure, if I've got enough to tell you, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously me strong-arming you on air, which is very unfair of me.
Okay.
It happens, doesn't it? And if people want to watch your videos and stuff, where would you like to direct them?
Okay, so you can follow me on Twitter at China Comedy Stew, STU. That's all one word, China Comedy Stew. Or you can find us on Facebook at Comedy in China.
Brilliant. And of course, you know, they can always follow you on Weibo.
Yes, they can, if they happen to use Weibo.
Nobody. I had no idea until I saw your show that was a thing. What is that? Is that the Chinese state version of Twitter?
Chinese Twitter.
Right.
Yeah. It's much better than Twitter. It's much better.
Is it?
So I strongly advise everyone get on there. Brilliant.
Why is it better? Tell me.
There's just more functions. So, also, a bit more censorship, but, you know, you can understand that, can't you? There's more functions.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's, you know, I think that's a healthy trade-off. Stuart Wiggin, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. And
talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks ever so much. Have a good day. Oh, well, that's it. That's Good Morning China.
Good Morning China on Talk Radio.
Quite like that bed. I was quite happy with that bed. I did that this morning. It's all right, wasn't it? And they said it couldn't be done. Coming up in the next 45 minutes here on Talk Radio, we are going to have some bespoke... I'm not going to say erotic anymore. It's not that erotic. Prose read by Catherine. She hasn't seen it yet. It's powerful. It's powerful stuff. And it's going to be a choose-your-own-adventure. You get to decide what happens next tomorrow night. So this is a nice thing, having a long run at this. It's, you know, it's sort of...
I mean, you really are going to delve the depths of the imagination of the listeners of this show, and it's really quite a deep depth.
We are going deep, deep into the shaft.
That's because what I'm concerned about.
This is all based on strikes in the 80s and mine shafts.
Gosh.
And stuff.
Oh, no.
What could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
Good. So we've got that in about half an hour's time. And after the break, I'm going to talk about the weird reasons people have for choosing the houses they move to.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It is.
Bit of AOB to clear up.
Go on.
Jumble Sailor on Twitter says, I concur entirely with your appraisal of Hartley Brewer's Sondheim. She possesses the most stirring of baritones. Salutes. Thanks very much. Yes, Julie Hartley Brewer every Sunday at 11 after we've done our breakfast show from 8 till 11. She sings the songs from the musicals.
Oh.
And it's brilliant. She's doing...
Into the Woods.
No, well, she did. Yeah, she did the Sondheim. She did all of that. Send in the clouds. Isn't it rich?
Are we your pay?
Why should I pay? But, yeah, she's doing a tribute to Elaine Page, I think.
Oh, nice. Mm, well, really there's another woman with a giggle in her voice.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Isn't that what Elaine Page does? Doesn't yeah. She says,
There's a certain generation of showbiz Brits,
yeah.
Right, of which the good old EP is one, who use the phrase, Ted Rogers always did this on 3-2-1, they always use the phrase, my old mate.
Mm.
I was talking to my old mate Cliff Richard, you know, my old mate.
Oh,
we had a lot of fun, my old mate. My old mate Julia Hartley Brewer, of course, will be here tomorrow morning from 10. Yeah,
10.
I know that. I was tuning.
10 o'clock. I was tuning every morning, like clockwork.
Yeah, I use her to get my dander up.
Do you?
Mm.
I've noticing your dander lately. It's incredible. It's very up.
It's incredible
Couldn't
to watch.
Couldn't be upper.
Yeah. And, sorry. No, it's fine. Liquor? Liker. I don't know. Like speaking of pronunciation, she's tweeted us saying, please, he.
Happy tree, yep.
Oh, it's a he.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Says, please tell your newsreader to pronounce Fillon with long Y, like Fillon. He's saying Fillon. Which means us. Oh.
I don't know why you hesitated after saying.
It was a what have I done pause. What have I done? And that's
my career.
You might
as well go for the hole at this
that's
point.
That's me away. Bye now. See you just now. That's me away. Cheers now.
Fion.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
I thought I was pretty up on French.
Well, I make it my business to know all the swears.
Trou de cul. That.
Trou de cul.
Trou de cul. That
yeah.
means ask, what have I done?
Oh. Yeah, oh, I've had some awful things said to me. When I lived in Paris, I had an old gentleman once, and this is
did
one
you,
of my first awakenings to the horrors of Paris.
Potato and egg fancies.
Didn't. This was before I went to France, before I went to Spain.
Right.
And I had this, you know, I'd been going to Paris as a child, you know, because I had a French exchange partner. I used to go and see her every year. So since I was 13, I would pay myself, save up.
Wow.
And I got put on the plane by my parents.
Just crowdfund it.
You know, exactly. It was before crowdfunding. I was like doing odd jobs for 12 quid a week.
Mm. How Baby, odd.
Babysitting, yeah.
Oh,
couldn't get odder. And so I used to fund myself going over there. And I used to love it when my friend's mum and dad used to take us to Paris. And it seemed, you know, so it is beautiful. So when I went to live there, it was a huge crashing shock when I realised it's rubbish to live there if you're poor. I suppose it's like living in London and having no money. You see a different side of things and it ain't pretty.
Yeah.
But I remember one of the first days I was living in Paris and walking to college and this old gentleman, I thought it was an old gentleman, said, "Bonjour, mademoiselle." And I thought, how delightful. So I gave him a quick bonjour back and he said that he would like to rip my head off and have sex with my neck.
What?
Out of nowhere. Bonjour. By the way, yeah, it was fairly intense, like experience of Paris.
Je veux te déchirer la tête et puis that word.
Well, all that whole thing.
La gorge.
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
What?
À propos de rien.
I had a nice moment.
Yeah, it was odd. It was an odd time. And then when I went to live in Spain, you know, after your mother has always said, "Be careful, those Spanish guys. They've got the gift of the gab, and they're only after one thing." Honestly, they were the most respectful. You know, they were great. I didn't have any trouble at all. In Paris, it was kind of non-stop perving.
Mm.
And not in the way I like. And I was really young then, and I remember being really shocked by it.
That's grim.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I had a fun experience once where I speak okay French, and I was in a park in Southeast London. When I lived in Southeast London. In a park, and I was sitting there, and this guy was walking up this path up the hill with his girlfriend, and evidently what it was he was French and she was French, and he was like over on an exchange or something, like as a student, mm-hmm. or he was like working there, and she had come over to visit him, and he was sort of bragging and saying in very sort of slang heavy French, saying, "Oh, it's wicked that I'm not doing the French, I'm doing it sort of comparable. So say, oh, it's wicked over here, because, do you know what I mean? Like, no one understands a word you're saying.
Oh, yeah, like, I love those moments.
C'est marrant ici parce qu'il n'y a rien.
Yeah,
les gens, ils ne pigent rien.
Yeah.
And then he saw me as he was coming up the hill and caught my eye. And basically said to his girlfriend, as he was looking at me and smiling, he said, like this one, all right, you...
Yeah.
You know, I can't say it.
And did you respond?
French, he was... And so I just, and he said, see, you didn't get anywhere. I said, si, si, j'ai pigé. And his girlfriend just died.
I love those moments.
Yeah.
I remember.
And he tried to style it out.
Yeah. I love those moments. I love it. It's the one thing that makes being a languages geek, worthwhile. It happened to me in a bar in Spain. There was this woman who was being horrible about me and my friends all night. Horrible.
Oh,
and she was standing kind of a meter away. And we were obviously, you know, English. Most of them were blonde. And, you know, we clearly did not fit in anyway. So at the end of the night, I took great delight in going over and saying, oh, by the way, thank you for the delightful things you've been saying about us tonight. We've really appreciated it. And we've learnt some new words. So thanks. And her face was a picture. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. So just be careful what you say.
Yeah, guys, be careful out there.
Because some of us weren't very good at maths.
Yeah, some of us. So for some of us, sports day was.
But I was acing the old French tests.
Oh, man. I was, yeah.
I had Spanish lessons on my own. It was me and an elderly
Maltese
woman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Because no one else wanted to do A-level Spanish. So they put it on just for me. So there's me and this old lady in a class.
Wow.
It was great teaching. It was brilliant. And, you know, it and it was just good. It was good.
My French teacher was a strange woman.
My first Spanish teacher was French. That was a bit difficult.
Gracias. I can't even understand
Gracias.
That. I can't even understand that sentence, let alone yes. What that was like. My French teacher was a strange lady who had... A proper kind of foundation tide mark.
Like, oh, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, it was like...
You don't see many of those anymore.
No, you don't.
Maybe the formulations are better.
What dog muck, mate. but she was just sort of rather strange. And this was doing A-level French when I was never naughty. Like, I was the most unbelievably frightened good child.
Yeah.
Because I was terrified of getting into trouble. But I just sort of had enough by the time I got into my A-levels. And I discovered that I could be naughty just by being excessively polite. So she'd be, like, kicking off the lesson. So she'd be going to go, right, now can you all open your workbooks, please, and turn to page 300? I'd say, well, how are you? And she'd be like, I'm fine. Page 311, and I want you to do exercises A, not B. See, so you had a good week?
You were that kid.
D, not E. And those second years, because I know they give you a lot of trouble. Okay, tais-toi, Jacob, tais-toi.
Ça suffit.
Anyway, one day she came in and she was really subdued. Like, really, like, it was weird. And like, you could tell something was up.
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh, God, is Miss all right? Is she all right? And finally I sort of said, you all right, Miss? Are you okay? And she just said, and you could see she was on the brink of crumpling.
Oh,
like,
dear.
She was not in a good place.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm just a bit upset. And I said, oh. And everyone was like, you know, on tenterhooks, leaning
in. This is real.
Yeah, like, oh, man, she's, what is going on? I said, oh, what's wrong? And she said, my pet rat died.
Oh, God, don't tell the kids that.
Children are cruel.
You got stabbed in the leg
but
with a pencil.
We
you don't tell kids
so
that.
Hard, man. Oh,
it's
awful.
It's weaponry.
It's awful.
My
pet rat.
The languages teachers were always a little bit.
They were always a bit.
I mean, and the students were, to be honest. We were the misfits.
Mm-hmm.
Very much me and the old lady. But there were other kids in my French class. And the French teacher was odd.
Yeah.
Like, really odd.
Yeah.
And he lent me a book once.
Oh, no.
Oh, listen, he lent me a book once. And I got to the middle of it and I found, well, obviously something he'd been using as a bookmark. It was a really late marriage guidance leaflet.
No!
Now, my 16-year-old self knew that this was dynamite. This was dynamite. So what do you do?
I don't know.
Do you know what I did? And I probably shouldn't have. What I should have done as an adult was probably binned it and pretend I hadn't seen it.
But you didn't do that, did
no,
you?
No, I put it back in and gave it back to him. So he would have known I saw it. But I didn't do that on purpose. I just, you know, when you think, don't touch it, don't, you just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah. That's
but
that's
probably is probably more sensitive would have been to have dispatched it. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell a soul. I've never said anything about it. But I remember, you know, those moments where you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It probably would have been a kinder thing to do, to have binned it.
That was not a leaf. That was a cry for help. And he was turning to you. And that was very unfair of him.
I don't think turning to me. What, do you think it was a... No, it wasn't.
No, I don't mean like... No, I don't mean like that. But it's not fair of him. It wasn't fair of him.
Well, he shouldn't... Well... What headspace are you in to be using that as a bookmark? Well...
Should have seen what he had before. That was what made him have to go to relate. We'll be back in about 45 seconds. Hang on.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I like Katya's tweet.
Yeah, Katya.
Ça suffit, les gars. Ça suffit, hein. Greg, this is like awful things that children do to their teachers. Mm. Greg, this is a great story though. Greg has tweeted us, thanks very much. He says, in our RE lessons. Oh man.
They were always, I mean, they were always a doctor.
Do you know what my RE teacher's name was?
Go on.
Mr. Sankey.
Oh.
Can you imagine? Anyway, in our RE lessons, according to Greg, we used to clap whenever the teacher said Jesus.
Like that?
Yes! I love that. And Jesus. Guys, ça suffit, les gars, okay? Ça suffit, yeah? Ça suffit. I love that.
Oh,
teacher baiting.
What I discovered. If Ken comes on again, we're definitely doing that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. If Ken comes on again tomorrow, right?
We're definitely doing
like,
that.
Call in. Like, we'll get you on, and you can just be on the phone, and we'll all. Do a clap.
You do that at home.
Every time he says, Jesus.
And he will. You know he will.
Yeah, he will.
And you know he'll call as well. Because he knows that Ian's off.
Yeah. If you came out of the pub at like half past 11 or something, you didn't hear it. Ken was like our second caller.
And yeah, and he gave us the treatment.
It was intense.
He tried to give us a treatment anyway. He wasn't having any of it.
He had some of it.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, you were much more tolerant before I waded in.
Yeah, you were great. Thanks for that, man.
I know.
Appreciate that.
Well, you know, I know the tricks. I know all the tricks.
10 minutes to our Choose Your Own Adventure Erotica Part 1.
Oh, blimey.
It's not that erotic. It's not remotely erotic.
Well, not the way I tell it.
But before that, I thought this was an interesting story in the Daily Express today about home buyers.
This is on your mind,
choices
clearly.
For picking a property. Yeah, I'm trying to buy a house. I don't know what house.
I kind of want a bigger house, but I can't be bothered. I can't afford it, but I also can't be bothered with all the moving and the packing.
Just
stuff.
Like annex a bit of next door, like just.
That's not a bad idea. They've not got any children.
People do it. One house I went and looked because I'm trying to move a house. I went and looked at a house, and the guy was like, "Yeah, we're in a bit of a dispute with the neighbours. They just built a fence in the guy's garden. They just had it."
Get this, my neighbour.
Yeah, here we go.
He's only just got rid of his Christmas tree. Right?
Oh,
it has been
scum.
Wedged against my hedge that I had to build because his ex-wife that used to live there used to roll her bins across my front garden, so I built the hedge, right? And that, you know, it's a bit passag, but I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
We caught her doing it once and she was like, well, anyway, so I built the thing. Right, so we've got a little hedge there now and occasionally they'll moan that they can't get to their...
Bins.
Car door makes their legs wet. And it's like, well, okay. All right.
So makes their legs wet.
Because, you know, it's a... It's
have you got a dog? What?
It's not a proper hedge. It's not like a... It's
a hedge.
It's plants. Soft plants rather than hard privet. I don't like privet, really. Can't be bothered
smells
with it. Anyway.
Good. Privet smells good. Oh, yeah, the flowers are good.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't even know privet did flowers.
No. Anyway, so the hedge.
Yeah.
So the Christmas tree, their dead Christmas tree, was leaning against my bushes.
Unbelievable.
Right? And then when the wind came, it was over and on my garden.
What?
Right, this is well into March. This is well into March. That tree's going nowhere.
Mate.
So I got their Christmas tree.
What'd you do?
I put it in the middle of their drive. Guess what?
Ice
There's cold. No Christmas tree there anymore.
Yeah, but is it in your hedge?
It's probably in my head.
Yeah, wait till you get into bed tonight. Mm. Wow.
Yeah, that showed them. Don't mess with me.
Well, what do you think are the top choices then for picking a property?
Neighbours that don't do stuff like that.
Quiet neighbours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't mind.
Number four.
I don't mind them loud, so as long as they're not messing.
Oh, well, that'd be number eight, the nice neighbourhood.
I actually quite like it during the summer.
Yeah.
Right, if you stand out on my decking, you can hear right across the whole estate. Right? Mm-hmm. And there's one particular family over back right, mm-hmm. not in my immediate street, but a couple. Mm. They always have like a bit too much to drink at barbecues.
Woo-hoo.
It's always a roaring row. If you stand on
a row.
Yeah, and if I'm standing in the garden, they're rowing, I can't help if I'm listening.
I'm getting this picture of you sort of very quiet, but like at home, just silent, but just taking it all in.
We're the quiet neighbours. Listen, I'm there all day. I'm there all day. So, you know, that kind of middle class clanking of plates and stuff in the garden. So after a while that stops and they continue.
And then it's like, and I told her, pack it in. Yeah. Is it like that?
Oh. Leave it. There's all that going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's great, man. That's free entertainment.
I don't need the telly.
Wow. We should just set up a feed. From if I ever do
Periscope,
if Ian strikes over the summer, let's just do a show from your house and we'll just see if we can.
Brilliant.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.
Well, number one, which what's quite funny about this list is I'm looking to buy a new house, and pretty much every one of the top 10 concerns, like all the houses I've looked at, like just tick every box.
Go on.
Ease of parking, number one.
You've got to have parking.
Number one. Good Lord. Council tax banding. Total cost. Total cost surely has to be like the first, because you're not going to buy it if you can't. I mean, that's just implicit. Anyway.
Total. No, because they'll give you whatever. It's gone back nuts, hasn't it, with mortgages? Are they still giving? They'll give you whatever you need now.
Oh, probably.
They went really tight for a while, didn't they? Or responsible, however we want to see it.
Well, as a self-employed person.
See, that's me now. I don't think I could afford to move.
They're quite tight. Mm. Yeah. Age of boiler. Can't say that.
Big pardon?
Age of boiler.
Oh, right.
You can't say that.
I've got a new one. It's ever so quiet. Luxury.
Oh, that's nice.
You want to see that bad boy.
God, I really resent forking out like big money on things that
boring stuff like boilers. Yeah. It's like buying socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know you socks. Need them. But yeah, who but has can, fun buying socks?
Oh, you can. Well, you should buy fun socks.
No.
You're obviously buying
no one
mealy
buys fun.
Only
idiots buy fun socks.
Sorry?
And children.
Really?
Mm. Oh. Just buy some, just soft socks, nice, thick ones.
I
don't really like women's socks very much. I prefer a man's sock. Come on, you know.
Oh, I do. I like a man's sock too, but don't tell anyone.
Anyway.
You
resent buying boilers.
Number seven was near a supermarket. Which I would say my number one leisure pursuit is going to a supermarket.
Oh,
I go to a supermarket like 4 or 5 times a week.
I live near a supermarket and it's addictive.
I go there all the time. And if something happens to me, it's the bright lights. I get in there and it's like showtime.
Oh, yeah.
I get very overstimulated.
Well, my mother-in-law, when she was alive, used to work in the local supermarket as well. So I still know everyone in there. I can never just go in there and buy something. It's always, how are you? How are the kids? Radio.
I don't want any of that. I like the anonymity.
Sometimes I go to the posh supermarket where no one knows me.
Yeah. Well, and even if they
did, it's not my natural home.
Even if they did, they would have a natural middle class discretion.
Yes, of course they would.
Hello, madam.
Yes.
Would you care?
Can I get you anything else, missus?
Yes. Would you care for a panino?
Exactly. You know.
Biscotto?
Exactly.
Are you hungry? 2 biscotti?
Exactly.
We have a variety of humai. If you care to, Hedy says, please, Kath, stop saying bush and garden.
Whoa.
My 3 Italian girls have been going round in onesies all day. Oh, I can see where that's going. I'm not reading out the rest of that. Speaking of which, though, it's time. Yes, after the break, it's going to be time for Love Behind the Lines.
Oh, no.
You choose your own erotic adventure, read by Catherine. What? Yeah?
I'm going to take all the joy out of it, just so you know.
There is no joy.
There'll be no...
There is no joy.
No.
There's no joy coming up.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's time for episode 1 of Love Behind the Lines.
Blimey.
A choose your own adventure, erotic novella. where you can decide what happens next. You can tweet.
We all know what they're going
to
decide.
To be honest, tweet me, because then I can look at it tomorrow more easily. At Jake Yapp, J-A-K-E-Y-A-P-P, with your suggestions for what should happen tomorrow night. Catherine is going to read this now. Cold. She hasn't seen this.
No,
I'm passing it
as
over
if
now.
I would agree to this if I'd seen it.
Just read it.
Book
just
at
read
bedtime. It. Love Behind the Lines.
Here we go. I can just kick back now. It's brilliant.
You can. March 1985. And the National Union of Miners' strike is about to break. A forlorn picket line stands huddled about a smouldering brazier. Not Jeff Brazier, although God knows he's the most smouldering brazier there's ever been.
God, yeah.
Sorry.
Fit as.
A picket line stands huddled outside the coal pit by the little village of Shittlingthorpe in Yorkshire, which is a real place, look it up. Young Bess Hammerthwaite has been coming up to the picket line for months now, bringing the strikers saucepans filled with hot bracken and cobble soup. Tasted disgusting, but it kept up morale. She was a champion of their cause, fierce, passionate and determined to help the miners see the strike through. A jeer rang out among the pickets as the gate swung open to let out a bus of blackleg miners out from their shift. Bess, in a fit of rage, hurled her soup at the windscreen. "That'll teach you, you scumbags!" she roared, feeling a surge of adrenaline as the bus creaked to an abrupt stop.
"You're giving it everything. I love this."
"I am so fine. When it gets filthy, you'll see."
Backs right off into a monotone.
One of the cobbles had fractured the windscreen, leaving the driver unable to see. Strikers cheered and pulled the door open. Out came the workers, their faces blackened from their shift. It looked like there was going to be a fight. "Stay back, Bess," one of the pickets warned her. "They mun't get the sen involved." "Up and I'll not stay back," retorted Bess. "I can fight as well as anyone here." She surged forward, her saucepan still in hand, raised to smash down on one of the miners. The nearest miner was taller than her by at least a foot and easily grabbed her wrist. "Filthy blackleg," she yelled, wrestling a hand free. "Don't take on so, Bess," said the miner. She spat in his face.
"That's all right.
Dirty mare." He wiped it with his sleeve, taking some of the soot off. Suddenly, a look of recognition came upon Bess's countenance. "George? George Akenbottom?"
"Sorry."
"Aye, Bess." He was grimy and the fatigue had aged his rugged face, but unmistakably it was him. What's they doing?" she asked bewilderedly. "How can you be breaking strike?" "I mun," he replied. "It's for me son. He loves disco ducks." Bess's face showed how conflicted she felt at this gentle giant who'd overcome all the stereotyping and that to help his son pursue his dream of dancing at disco ducks. "And as you know, my son has never been the same since his mum died," he added, rather usefully, as it made it morally okay for them to totally have a bonk in about four paragraphs' time.
There we go.
"How is the son?" asked Bess, her voice softening as a cobble whistled past her head and embedded itself in a miner's teeth. "He's all right," he said gruffly. "The boy needs a woman's touch, though." Bess looked at him. Little Georgie Akenbottom. Who'd grown up in the street next to hers, who'd made her laugh by riding his bicycle into the canal or stamping on ducks. Suddenly he seemed like a man wearied by his responsibilities. Her anger slid away like a heap of slag, and suddenly she wanted him like a heap of slag. You can't say that. I've got a friend whose mum lives on Slag Lane. True story.
Wow.
Anyway,
what
scene.
Number?
She grabbed his hand and, dodging the fighting miners, they slipped back into the mine, stealing into the lift that would take them down. "Steady, lass," said George. "This leads into the shaft," finished Bess. "I know what I'm doing." The door closed on the little cage, and as they descended into the inky darkness of the pit, she pressed her lips against his. Their tongues explored each other. Their breathing became urgent and they shrugged themselves out of their clothes.
Definitely losing the feeling now.
Shrugged themselves out of their clothes. What were they wearing? Caftans.
Just a sheet. Come on, they were poor. But they were happy.
"Leave the helmet on," said Bess. "App, and you'll need the flashlight where that's going."
I should write more stuff semi-conscious.
George descended. I mean, in the lift, obviously, and literally nothing else. disappearing into the tight hole. I mean, of the shaft, obviously. I mean, the shaft of the mine, obviously. Oh, look, we'll leave it there tonight, you dirty pockets.
Beautifully read, Catherine. Thank you. If you've got any suggestions for what should happen next at Jake Yap, let me know.
And we're not using the phrase hammer and tongs.
I'll work it in. I'll work it right. I will thumb it in to tomorrow's episode of... What's it called? Love Behind the Lines. Same time tomorrow.
Gosh.
You did that ever so well.
Well...
Yes, you did it well. Hey, Happy Tree. Is it Happy Tree?
Yes.
Is that who it is? Hello, Happy Tree.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, good, thanks. We're obviously a little bit flustered after Catherine's seminal work there.
I like the Aikenbottom character. He was quite amazing.
Yes, George Aikenbottom.
It's a very Yorkshire name.
Yeah, the Yorkshire Aikenbottoms. Mm-hmm. How are you this morning?
Not bad. I'm just preparing to go to bed, but there's always the conundrum when it gets to... I'm 2 hours in front, so it's coming up to 3 o'clock, and I'm thinking, I should actually go to bed.
Yeah, but, hang on a minute.
You get to the point where you think, is there any point? Might as well stop up.
Where are you again?
Oh, yeah. Estonia.
Estonia, that's right. I remember now. 3 o'clock in the morning. That's
pivotal.
That's the moment.
Well, I mean, I'm working from home tomorrow, so in other words, I'm I can get up when I like. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but yeah, the cats are just coming to the period of time when they want to run around. So I just retreat to my bedroom and shut the door and listen to them diving around. And
how old are the cats?
18 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they're still in the mad zone.
Oh, they're very, very cheeky. And you put all sorts of loads of toys on the floor for them to play with, and they're not interested. It's like, no, I want you to hold this bit of string. Yeah, and I'm like, well, you've got all these bits of string hanging off the thing that I'm built for you, so go and play with that. I don't want to play with it. Anyway, my Twitter handle, and I heard... what's his name? The unexplained guy got it wrong as well, but then I suppose... You don't speak Swedish. Lyckatil is the name.
Lyckatil.
Lyckatil. It means good luck in Swedish.
Ah.
It literally means luck to you. Luck to.
All right. So you can wrap up this Fillon and not Fillon.
Yes, it's the newsreader said Fillon very quickly.
Fillon.
So when you say Fillon, then that means bum or, you know, whatever. But you have to say Fillon. Although maybe it was a deliberate mistake, actually, given his...
his performance.
Questionable activities.
I did not know that. I did not know Fillon. How do you spell Fillon, then? F-I-O-N. It's F-I-O-N. It's bum.
Yeah, but so you say it very quickly, Fillon.
Fillon. Fillon.
Le Fillon. Dans le Fillon. Putain, dans le Fillon.
Putain.
Wow.
Here we go.
We can say things like that in a different language and not get dumped.
Well, no. Let's not push it.
Let's not push it too far. No,
definitely not. my cat is similar. He's a really weird... Like, he's sort of in a sort of arrested development. Like, he's 5, I think, now. And but he's just a... he's a fiend. He's an arsehole. Like, he does.
Is this the one you rescued from Wales?
Yeah, I found him in a barn, and you know, so we're very sort of bonded and stuff. But like, if he literally just out of principle, if you walk away from him, he just goes like that with his paw, just clocks you on the ankle, just in the kind of like cheek.
My sister's cat is my nemesis.
Really,
and I've spoken about him before. Elvis, he hates my guts, and I feel the same about him. And he waits until we're alone before he misbehaves. So when
brilliant.
I report it, it sounds like I'm making it up.
That's fantastic.
But we used to get along fine when he was a kitten. But something happened when I had my first child. We used to be friends. And I must have been given off some sort of hormone or something.
Yeah.
Because ever since, from being pregnant to now, his back goes up when he sees me.
Amazing.
It's like he's either terrified or he hates me. A bit of both, I think. Mm. And he will sit on the stairs at my parents' house. And if I walk past, he'll put his arm through the banister and try and swipe at my face. Honestly, he's like a Disney evil cat. Hates me.
That's weird.
Yeah, my nemesis.
I mean, to be fair, that's how I reacted to you.
I said, not the face.
Yeah.
Not the face.
Well, have you done your teeth?
Lyckatil,
yes, Mr. Happy Tree.
No.
You haven't done your teeth?
Not yet. Well, he's
got to do it.
For me, listening to Ian Lee is like, that's like toothbrushing time. That's That's the routine.
No. I'm actually a very typically monotasking male, and I hate, like, I'm talking to you from my portable, but I don't actually use it anywhere but other than in my house. And that, this is all I'm doing, speaking to you. I can't do anything else.
Amazing.
I hate walking down the street. I don't answer the phone if I'm out. I just let it buzz and I phone them back when I get home, because I just hate not feeling in the moment and not feeling in the conversation. I don't know how people, you know, one woman gets on the bus and she's talking to someone on the bus, and I'm thinking, I don't know anybody who I can speak to at 7:30 in the morning constantly while I'm on a bus. Who is she speaking to? But, maybe she's speaking to a cat.
When you're actually talking on the phone, though, do you not pace? Because I can't talk on the phone without pacing.
I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pacing around, but this is a kind of, you know, subconscious activity. But if I were to look and try and do something at the same time, then you could tell that my concentration has totally gone away.
The minute I start on the phone, I have to stand up and walk around.
Yeah.
Usually walk out of the room for some reason.
I'll do a few laps of the dining room table.
Yeah, I'm probably like a cat. Well, we have to leave the show there, so I think you should now go put the phone down and do your teeth. And maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bonne nuit.
Okay. Dors bien. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Kath. It's been a wonderful. And you know, I think we could call the strike off tomorrow, couldn't we?
Talk
Radio, intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.